It's technically the weekend show because, sorry, no show tomorrow.
Just get that nice. Out of
the way. It's Brooke's second birthday.
Aww.
And last year I missed her first birthday.
Oh.
Which.
Is she mad about it?
Was not seen.
She's going to hold that over your head forever?
She's pretty pissed. I don't want to tell
awkward 11. For a while?
You're going to walk in, she's going to go, what are you doing here? We were here last year.
She talks a lot now. It's very possible.
Yeah. I say you have a lot of nerves showing up.
Just a slight prompt. I don't want to tell Evan unless I'm missing another birthday party. So, yeah, here we go. And I was debating missing Sunday, but then I thought, no, Sunday's... I don't think I want to miss Sunday. Sunday's a bigger show for some reason. I mean, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah.
But anyway, we are in the Deals in the D.com studios, and we're live on Facebook. And that, of course, is brought to you by Grogreen MI, hosting a totally free demo day. And that's Saturday, this Saturday, featuring DL Wholesale, Trimmer and Bubble Hash making demos live in the store. Hey, live demos. How about that? They're also doing a clone and seed swap. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Bring a couple cuts and or seeds to trade for some new exciting strains. Oh, my God. Whoa! Free lunch provided!
There better be a lot of it.
Grogreen! And you know it's got to be a good lunch, right?
Sure.
It's not going to be a fire festival deal.
No.
Oh, that's fire Saturday festival. From 11 to 1 at Grogreen on M36 in...
You know, I think I'll just grow my own weed.
In Whitmore Lake.
That's cool, though. They're doing that seed swap. That's pretty neat.
Oh, I was going to try my hand at growing some weed. Steven said he'd give me some of his seeds to get started.
Seed swap.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, to think of doing this stuff and actually having advertisers talking about it, I mean, who'd have thunk it?
It moved pretty fast, didn't it?
It did.
Oh, it did.
I know so much has happened. That's why a lot of the, I don't want to get started, the generational thing, get hit with OK Boomer again, but so much of the... You know, you guys ruined it. I look at what's going on and I say, things are moving fast. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be 15 years old right now and to be gay or to be...
And high on weed. Who
a minority or, you know, it's... And I hate to act like, oh, the work is done, everything's fine. No, I mean, we're always a work in progress in this country.
We did kind of set the stage for marijuana freedom, though.
Come on. We worked hard at that.
Oh,
we
hell
did.
Yeah.
And we took a lot of shit for you guys.
Yeah. Okay, boomer.
We were hippie bums.
Hell yes, protest songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of our artists were about that.
All those, I mean, all my friends that got busted, their lives were ruined.
Oh.
I mean, it seemed like it. They really weren't.
Stay off the weed.
It was a big deal. There was a generational battle then, too. It was, you know, Vietnam. I watched the Crosby documentary last night.
David Crosby.
Yeah. That's my name.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron Crowe did it.
Mm-hmm.
And Cameron Crowe.
We talked to Gary about it, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cameron Crowe. But wasn't he under the...
An embargo?
Yeah, I think he was embargoed.
Oh, I think he was.
Deeply into it.
He just says
so
that.
Ethical.
I know he thinks it makes it sound more important.
It does. He's right.
Love you, Gary!
My embargo was just released because I'd been waiting and my copy was late. So I just was able to download it. Unfortunately, I couldn't talk about it sooner, but it was great. David Crosby, that's my name. I don't understand a lot of what's going on because he openly admits that, yeah, I was a real asshole, and all my friends hate me. I mean, his music friends, like, even go back to the Byrds. McGuinn, Hillman, all those guys. I mean, they all have a thing for David Crosby because he's done something unforgivable. Not just the 10 years of shooting up heroin with Crosby, Stills, Nash when he had his own bus.
He had a temper, didn't he?
He had a temper.
Really bad temper?
He says really mean things when he's mad, and he also...
He's mean.
What, did he walk around nude? And
yeah, he was... He's nudist.
That's his biggest crime.
He was into threesomes and foursomes. It was a little complicated. But on the bus...
He had a thruple?
Oh, he was in thruples.
Pioneered
absolutely.
It.
Before they... Way before they were called thruples. But they used to have problems on the tours because David would frequently pass out... from smoking crack, I believe it was at the time, and he would drop the torch, and the torch would be on, and the bus would catch on fire. And so that happened a few times, and then they put him on his own bus so he could catch his own bus on fire, but but Nash and Stills would be okay. So,
wow.
Oh, and they had great pictures, great video, too, and just, God, the music. When you think about Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, which is incredible, and that's the foursome's not in the Rock Hall.
No.
Crosby,
really?
Stills, and Nash are.
Yeah.
And I guess David Crosby is, no, the Byrds are. So he's in with the Byrds and CSN, and he was suggesting, I think Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young should be in there, too, and I kind of agreed, actually.
I do, except
why are they being kept out?
Neil Young has given the finger to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for so many years. But
yeah, Neil's not going to help the promotional efforts. But
his problem was that he couldn't get as many free people in as he wanted to. Actually, he was right about that when it came down to it. But at first I used to think, well, what's his problem? Can he?
You need to learn how to suck some goddamn dick.
I know, you'd think that yeah. Neil Young could swing a couple tables and it wouldn't kill him, but he stands on his moral high ground quite a bit. And normally I agree with him, honestly. But I agree with Crosby from the doc who kept saying, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, with just adding Young, it was a different band.
Oh, yeah.
It was just a different band. And I don't know, they all get plenty of credit. But when you watch a doc like that and the snippets of the songs keep coming, oh, my God, that song, that song, that song, that song. And all the combinations, too, like Crosby Nash had a really good album.
Yeah.
Nash had a great solo album. There was Stills Young. And there was there Crosby Young? What's On the Beach? Is that Stills Young? I think that's Stills Young.
Name anyway. One other band that's done that.
There's so many flipping great songs. I really enjoyed it, although the tone is really a bummer because it's very clear that he's close to dying. You can see his hands, the discolorations on his skin are just...
Oh,
boy.
You ain't dead.
Lived a full life, though.
Yeah, he did.
Burned through one liver.
What's with the discolorations? Because they showed him getting arrested when he gave himself up. How weird to think of David Crosby as a fugitive, because he was huge at the time. I'm thinking, who couldn't point out David Crosby? Who's he going to run from? But when he and his girlfriend at the time, who's now his wife... When that bust happened and she's shown up in court, they both have these wild discolorations.
Ew.
Looks like they've got, what is it? Not vitiglio,
vitiligo.
Vitiligo. They both have these giant super white blotches.
Really?
I know, it's really weird.
What drug is that?
Must be from heroin. She did heroin. This is a cute idea. She did heroin to see what it was all about so she could pull him out of heroin.
Oh.
Oh, then, nice story. Oh,
she liked likely it story. So much, she got sucked in and couldn't get out.
Oh, my God.
It was a cute effort.
It's a story she made up after.
Yeah. It's a good story.
It's a really
don't act
good
like story. You don't know about drugs when you do.
Hey, these are all great stories you could take down to the Detroit School of Rock and Pop Music. Just kidding. I don't know that they want to. There are a lot of youngsters around.
They're making stories now.
Yeah, they're making music, too. They provide exciting and motivating music lessons and experiences with Detroit's finest professional musicians. They want to awaken the rock star in you. And they're looking for adults, too. I thought it was more of a kid thing because I watched the videos on the Facebook page, and you see these 10 to 12-year-olds who are, you know, they've got formidable bands. They sound good. You can tell they're well-coached. But they're also looking for those adults who are looking for somebody to jam with or play with or start their own band. People bold enough to express their inner musical passions with the world. You'll achieve confidence and personal transformation without limitations. Come see why the adult students at the Detroit School of Rock and Pop Music call us cheaper than therapy. Stop practicing, start performing, and start rocking now!
I'd like to see you play a concert sometime.
They do. They play concerts.
Really?
It's kind of wild.
Oh,
yeah,
I want to go to that
page.
Concert.
It's kind of fun. Call the Detroit School of Rock and Pop at 1-888-988-ROCK or visit them online at www.detroitschoolofrockandpop.com.
I am so good at music.
Now! Brandon, is your lock of the week ready, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
Had to get in a day early because of tomorrow's day off.
I think your lock should maybe take a bye this week. I don't know.
Maybe.
Well, it's better to get back on the horse, I think. I mean, he went out on a limb and went with the Patriots.
Who are on a bye this week.
Oh, I didn't know about that. Jim Fouts is the mayor in Warren once again.
Yeah.
All right, Jim. That's great.
Fuck that shit. Had, I got a few. I didn't see it first.
Formidable competition, though, as his opponent got 42.5% of the vote. And at one point, she was leading. If you watch Channel 7 at 11 o'clock last night, they were saying, hey, he's behind. It could happen.
I could easily get a gun.
And so he's really full of himself. He was holding up headlines, you know, Dewey defeats Truman.
That was his post.
What?
Let me see if I can.
By the way, Dewey
post.
Defeats Truman. That was for the presidency. This is for the mayor of Warren, Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, which he was the incumbent.
But he was really enjoying the comparison to Truman. And apparently, it's not because of Truman upsetting Dewey. It's because I guess Truman didn't like dried up cunts either.
Yeah, he wanted
some more about that.
He also pronounced it chimpanzees.
Exactly. So, and I guess he did get 3% of the dried up cunt vote, so it wasn't a complete disaster. Only 0.5 of the disabled vote. And
should we call her? Find out if she voted for
his vanquished opponent?
No, his fan.
No, the fan that we talked
about.
What's
her name? Dolly?
Oh, her. Oh, yeah, she voted. You know she voted for him.
We're not talking to her.
No way.
Did she?
Are you still triggered from yesterday?
Did she tell us to go away? I don't think she really wanted us to call
she
anymore.
She did not want to call.
Glass. Here's what he
Unless
wrote.
Unless a fan of calling people that don't want to call us after yesterday.
Why? And what do you think the big topic is on Facebook Live? It's all about not Danny Ainge.
Well, I have to
not
say.
Not Danny Ainge.
Yeah, they're not going to get in trouble. We're the ones that got in trouble.
No, I really felt like I was in trouble the whole time. And I was looking for my boss, Maz, Tom, to get me out of trouble. Was he a credible boss, by the way?
No. No.
Seemed like he was accepted as the boss.
Although I laughed. Brandon and I were listening back to it again, and we were laughing at the fact when he comes online, he goes, hi, Danny.
That was a good line. It really was.
But now I'm wondering, did he do that on purpose, or is that Tom just being Tom?
I think he might have done it on purpose.
Either way, it works.
I don't
And then at the end, he goes, thanks for calling. We'll talk to you soon, which neither of those things happened.
And that almost set him off again because he's like, he didn't call you. You called me.
I have a feeling Maz was so deep. He was so deep into his phone.
He had no idea.
He probably thought his name
was Danny.
Danny
Ainge.
He probably thought he did call us.
Some people were wondering if we were going to get to Maz's supervisor, which, you know.
This is Buzz.
Yeah.
It would have been. Buzz should have brought into play, but Buzz can be the hammer, and I think we needed a softer touch at that point.
I think we'll revisit Buzz at the end of the show today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, it's been a while. Yeah, Buzz has been keeping a low profile, but when he has to come out and play. He can have a powerful presence.
This is Buzz.
As hopefully you'll hear. Okay, so let's see what else happened.
Fuck that shit.
Do you want to hear Fouts' what he posted online?
Yeah, I was excited to hear. He's got to be full of himself.
As many of you know, I'm an admirer of President Harry S. Truman, which nobody knows that. But apparently we know that he was an admirer of President Truman. And now I can relate to another famous situation in his 1948 election night victory with Harry holding up a copy of the Chicago Daily Tribune. Now a new example of the same situation. And he's got the picture of...
There was no headline, was there?
Well, he has a screenshot of Crane's Detroit saying, in Warren, City Council member Kelly Coliglio handed Jim Fouts a defeat.
So there was an actual headline.
Well, online, which I'm sure changes because it's... Not in print, it's online.
Did they reference the fact that he did not get any of the dried up cunt vote and still won?
I think he got them all.
Yeah, because he was losing.
Mention it.
Yeah, he was losing 48 to 52%, and then.
But the dried up cunt vote came in early, is what I understand. That's.
But the
where it's strongest.
The absentee vote came in later. I figured that vote
that
would be the
fishy.
Absentee votes.
It's a little fishy.
He must have won the absentee votes 80% to 20%.
He's sitting in an office punching a bunch of absentee votes.
I think the absentee votes, though, I think they're pretty lean in terms of dried up cunts. I mean, it's wild the way they break this stuff down, but I mean, he was very.
Comments on his Facebook page. Went to sleep last night feeling sad because I thought you lost.
Oh,
and I thought maybe the absentee ballots would make a difference.
Who's that?
Carol on dry. Well, I don't know.
Well, hey, don't yell at us. He's the one that used him.
They're pussies when they're young, and when they get older, just mean, hateful, dried up old cunts.
Some people feel like that got him some votes from people that feel the same way.
Oh, like he's nagging dried up old. Sees.
Well, yeah, and they
love him more.
The DUC haters liked him better because of that.
Oh, well, like, you're not looking at the good things he's done.
Is there somebody we can call who's a Jim Fouts fan?
Yeah, Gladys.
Gladys. At 11 p.m., Channel 7 was interviewing your opponent, and she was using the forum for a victory speech. Nice job, TV 7. Fake news strikes again. Time to change the channel.
Should we watch Channel 7 at 11? I have it.
Sure. If you like fake news.
You want to see if Gladys will talk, Brandon?
Yeah, I mean, I can try.
Ask her off the air, and if she's tell her that we've talked to her previously. We knew she was a supporter, and
how she feels.
See if she was happy with the results.
Somebody been at me. Gladys can't be alive still.
I think she still had some good years ahead of her.
She dried up yet?
By the way, say top fan Jimmy Tucker there.
She said no.
Somebody yesterday was really excited about being named top fan.
Oh, really?
They've been with us for a long time, and I said, you know, the vetting for top fan. There's a lot of vetting. It takes a long time for us to determine who the actual top fans are.
Yeah.
All right, here she is using this form as an acceptance speech.
But right now, you're looking at the numbers, and you are slightly ahead. How have you been able to keep this race close, and how are you able to be so calm tonight?
Yeah, you know what? I feel really good. I'm here with a lot of my grassroots campaign supporters, and we were out there door-to-door. We spent our time quietly just canvassing all those neighborhoods, and, you know, we felt that we were going to have good Election Day voter turnout, and we knew that to stay close in this race, we had to engage more voters that may not vote in the mayoral race but may vote in a presidential election, and I feel that we did that today.
You
it may
are
surprise
fake news.
Some people, but you know, we're pretty excited that we're this close, and our campaign had a little late start. You know, I had the passing of my mother on Memorial Day, so we jumped in a little bit
victory.
Late, and I think we were able to
what
catch up, and we're going to see, you know, we're just anxiously
is,
awaiting those absentee ballots.
What's happening.
You know, Kelly, Mayor Fouts has been in office now for a decade, for 12 years as the
I
mayor of Warren.
I don't think she did at all.
Your push to take that spot from him really began how?
You know, I became concerned once I got on council.
Okay. Thanks,
I saw some things
thanks,
going
Kelly.
On in the city.
I dream
levered
like
thank you very
I
much.
You are fake news.
Decline in you know, some housing market.
Yeah, you pull the plug
Debbie
on
landlords.
Kelly. She
but
did
if you
a great
fast
job.
Forward, the Fouts actually comes
job.
Up.
Oh, he does.
None
of you. Oh, okay, I want to see Fouts.
And they pause at for some reason they pause at like not a very very good picture of him.
Mm. Is his girlfriend?
Well, it's
with
not
him?
The picture I tweeted out. That
is
was
that his, is that his girl next to him?
He
yes.
actually contacted me for the negatives.
Yeah,
I used.
Here's this part.
Twitter.
It's his promo pic.
We did talk to Mayor Jim Fouts.
No, that's his girlfriend.
About what it would mean for him to be reelected
she's
again
hot.
To the mayor of Warren.
Can't wait to go down on that.
That he's currently been mayor for 12 years. Right now, tonight he's at Andiamo's. He hasn't speaking to us right now. Of course, this race super close. But take a listen to what he told us earlier this week about if he was to be elected again.
You know, I never make a prediction about how I'm going to go until after it happens. The voters have the right to make that decision, and I don't want to be preemptive about their right. I am hopeful that I will be successful, but
oh my God, his head is bizarre.
I don't take anything for granted,
so weird,
and
so weird.
I appreciate the support the voters have given me in past elections.
They just paused on
with his mouth agape, dude.
Why is there so much forehead when they talk to him always?
I think he
likes the forehead angle.
He doesn't really look people in the face. Doesn't he look down a lot when he talks?
Yeah, he does.
He's usually scurrying back into his office.
Right.
God. Or hiding.
Because he doesn't want to talk, yeah.
Shutting a door on someone. With our lady friend?
Unfortunately, her phone is disconnected.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
That's sad.
I know she was in her early 90s when we talked to her a couple of years ago.
Was she that old? Oh. Is there anyone else from our previous... Inquiries
no,
in the
she's the
board?
Only one we okay. talked to.
Want to call him?
Well, we had a lot of his Fouts students.
Well, it's amazing that, you know, that big effort with all that Adobe Selma flair.
Yeah.
It just didn't work.
No, it didn't.
Adobe Selma flair.
People saw right through that.
The election is cheaters proof. The cheaters that used Adobe Selma flair to come up with and play the chimpanzee. Nobody says chimpanzee like that. That's a dead
you know, blacks do look like chimpanzees. I was watching this black woman with her daughter, and they looked like two chimps. Their mouths were elongated out, you know, a duckish look.
No, that was not me on the tape. Well, that was a manufactured, engineered tape by, you can do it by Adobe software.
And, you know, of course, in the past, he's also made some remarks against, you know, handicapped and disabled children. And the woman that was running up against him actually had a special needs grandchild, so that was some of her motivation.
She had a grandchild. She looked so young.
She does.
She doesn't look old enough to have a grandkid. Do we have some any of the other manufactured audio of the what you were just referring to, perhaps, or the?
For some reason, I don't know if I have that one, but I have.
DUC audio?
I have a few. Here's one on abused women.
I want to actually meet some abused women and say, you know, I'm available as a big brother or a big fucker. You know, meet a woman maybe about 35 that's abused, and you know, she's open for some abuse from the mayor.
Yeah, there's this one.
It's personal to me, just like being a fag is personal to somebody, being fat is personal to somebody, being a dimwit is personal to somebody. That is personal to me. It is very. It's like I've been raped. It's like I've been accosted. And then the goddamn Warren Weekly.
I forgot. What's personal to him?
I don't know.
Because he says being a fag is personal to some people. That's kind of weird. But I forgot what he said up front. How about DUC?
Do we have
the DUC cut? Because I thought that was, you know, to give away the DUC vote was really unprecedented.
Think I want to date a fucking 60-year-old hag? Fuck that shit. I don't. I'm not interested in any old ugly hag. I think after a certain age, they're all dried up, washed up, burned out. This one kid in my class, I told you some years ago. He said, "We have a party store." He says, "My dad had rules. What are they? Only two nigger at a time."
This is the most recent one here where I think he admitted that this was actually him.
And I got that fucking Henry. I'd like to take a 2x4 and I'd like to beat the fucking shit out of him. That's what I'd like to do. I'd like to beat the fucking shit out of him. I'd like to take a gun and shoot him through the fucking head. I could easily get a gun and shoot Henry. I'd enjoy shooting him.
He's such a bad guy.
That was not me on the tape. But that was a manufactured, engineered tape. You can do it by Adobe software.
I want to see him get in a fight.
With Richard Marks.
Is it possible he could just kick some ass, that he would just blow our minds and just go mano on somebody?
Oh, he swings like Mr. Burns.
Fight. I want to see him at the bar picking up chicks, man.
I know.
Sounded so hip.
He doesn't need to pick up chicks. He's already got a hot piece of tail.
Yeah, just, she's going to be dried up before he knows it.
Okay, this is irresponsible speculation, but do you think he's huffing and puffing on top of that cute 8-year-old girl?
God,
she's
damn it,
cute.
Wow.
Yes.
God damn it.
Yeah.
I think she does a lot of work beforehand, but yes.
How low can her self-esteem be? I mean,
well, her bank account, allegedly.
But there's 35-year-old guys that do very well.
Maybe that's her thing, man.
Okay, no, I mean,
he's a popular mayor in Warren, so when you hang out with him, he might be fascinating to talk to.
Or
maybe he's hung.
Or
his balls are. That. I don't know. You know,
it's really long. And
if she really just fell for him, she couldn't resist all his charms. Then I'm not knocking it, but I'm just surprised. I have to believe she could do better.
He's got her in his will, so she's lasting him out.
And old balls, gross.
But let's just for a second suggest that. Her only goal, and I'm not talking about her, because I have no idea. They could be the happiest couple possibly ever.
Sure, I hope they
are. Let's just say that her goal is security and meeting somebody who will secure her future, like Jim Fouts allegedly has.
Which is fine.
She could meet so many guys who are successful, who are 50, 60.
Well, maybe she thinks.
A lot of guys 60.
Maybe she thinks she can do that when he dies.
Yeah, or.
I don't know.
But those guys.
Maybe she meets somebody in their 50s and 60s and thinks that, well, they're, you know, they might find somebody else. They might be attracted by other eye candy. And he likes being locked into that.
Or maybe she has the lowest self-esteem of all time.
Yeah, that's a possibility as well.
Well, he's 77. I don't know how old she is.
She's attracted to power.
Very cute.
Yeah.
She's very, yeah.
She looks like she's a nice
guy. He's got a pile of money.
She's got a government pension she's secured with now, so that's cool.
What does she need him for? Just blows my mind. I feel like one of those incels.
You saying it might not be worth it?
They always go for the Adobe Selim Flare guys.
One of the Chads and Stacys.
I don't suppose I'll ever understand it. But
Warren Fouts is a Chad?
He's a Chad, yeah.
He sounds like one. I mean, so much of it is about believing in yourself. I mean, think of the guys who are just complete loads, and you go, God, he just lands the cutest women, the hottest chicks, and it's all about self-confidence. The fact that they're willing to put their ass on the line, and sometimes you find out that, hey, what do you know?
Yeah.
She digs me.
Yeah.
Who'd have thunk it? And Fouts is one of those guys. He just, when he walks in the room, he thinks every chick is thinking, oh my God, if I could only be with Fouts. He must.
He commands the room. He's got a lot of power, too.
To pull it, that girl was like 25 when, or younger.
Yeah.
She's probably 22 when they had that weekend in Chicago when they were holding hands, even though they weren't a couple.
That was great.
They just held hands because she's an employee and he holds hands with his employees.
And that was a long time ago, so they've been a couple for a while now.
That's what I mean. Yeah. She'd have been her
early 20s. No, that was not me on the tape.
She is really, really cute.
I know.
Good for him, man.
You can be a sloppy son.
Almost as stuck on this as I was on cobbling together a living yesterday. Can't get over that he's with her.
That's weird.
I just want to think that they aren't together. But anyway, my bookie is a chance for you through November 11th to double your deposit if you use promo code Drew. If you like to wager on NFL football games, college football games, NBA, we've got NHL.
Did you say college basketball? I'm sorry.
College basketball. Yeah, Michigan
Action
State.
Action last night, yeah.
Disappointing at the Garden. And did I mention that Matt ended up going?
You did not mention that. There were some very funny texts.
Yeah, Matt and Billy went to New York. And Billy, of course, was wanting to lock in those Michigan State Kentucky tickets. Oh, what a game. How can you beat that? And Matt's like, wait a second. We're going to be in New York? Why would we lock in on something when we've got a whole 14 hours until we're there to come up with something better? There's so many cool things to do. So they get there and they decide, let's maybe just go to the bar. They got a big screen. We can have a few drinks, watch the game. And then he checks the StubHub prices and they're dropping like a rock. Mm-hmm. So they buy tickets like 20 minutes before game time. They're in their seats in the 15th row, 5 minutes before the game.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, he said when they checked it before, it was $1,500, then $400. $1,500 when they got in the cab, $400 when they arrived.
However, I believe there were some losses. Paychecks were not doubled.
Did you see his picture with Rob Lowe / Rob Pelinka?
No, I didn't see that. That's how the text started.
It's him and Pelinka.
What?
And I took exception to the fact that Pelinka has a Rob Pelinka, by the way, the general manager of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Is that an iPad in his
hand? He's got an iPad because he's scouting. Which
Cut it out.
Can I just bring an iPad in? I'm scouting. They're not going to. Who knows who Ryan Way? He's in maybe the concourse. That's
his, that might be his Uncle Bob way of getting away from Matt. Hey, I'm really busy with my iPad right now.
He's got Angry Birds open.
I'm scouting. Yeah, Matt doesn't look that hammered there. Did he sober up to make Pelinka believe he could take a selfie with him?
He texted late last night that they were chasing Sparty because they lost in the first bet. Mm-hmm. And then you at 5:30 in the morning. What are you doing at 5:30 in the morning texting?
Well, you wrote what he was doing.
You wrote, no, you!
Oh, me? Oh, yeah.
Up at 5:30.
I'll tell you why. Well, go ahead.
You wrote, you won the bet, which if you read it, he clearly lost.
Well, so there was the longest string there. I was not going to read that whole string.
So he writes, we lost everything, including our dignity. It was a smoke show. I just woke up. My mouth is burned, which means we did finally eat stand-up pizza over a trash can, I remember. Went to some bar in the West Village, I think. I may have let Billy get raped for campfire. Just pissed and I blew up.
You drank a lot.
0.11. I think we're going to miss the bus at 10 a.m. for the pregame
scheme. Yeah, his blood alcohol monitor has become the star of every show he's in.
He's a blast. He's and a good guy.
Do you just walk up to random people and say, blow in this?
He should.
Well, usually it's him and his friends blowing into it. And the amazing thing is the next day it's like 1 in the afternoon. He's like, well, I'm 0.07. I guess I can go work out.
Is his blood alcohol level monitor on Drew's favorite things? Because or does he need a separate Matt's favorite things? Because
that's a truty.
Because those brush picks.
Oh yeah, the doctor's brush picks.
Matt gave me. Or
that's a great idea.
Mark gave
that
me.
Changed my life.
Yeah, and then
Matt's favorite things would reach an entirely different audience.
And then he's got that thing on the back of his cell phone that he pulls his glasses out of.
He loves
showing that off too. That changed his life.
It did.
He pitches them too.
Yeah.
You know? Like, do you know what
he's
this is?
He's a good spokesperson.
He's a spokesperson. He's always a spokesperson.
I'm going to add
every
them,
second of the day.
I'm going to add them to Drew's favorite things list.
And my bookie
be a subheading for Matt's favorite things.
My bookie was one of his favorite things at the beginning of the night last night. Uh-oh. And Matt could have gone to mybookie.ag and he could have made his initial deposit, let's say $5,000. And what do you know? They double it if you use promo code Drew. Now, starting November 11th, it's going to be a 50% match. So $2,000 would get you an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Be sure to read the rules because you have to make some bets if you want to access that money and take it out after you double your paycheck. Just use promo code Drew to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code Drew to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. And now, the lock of the week. Where are we going this week?
Oh, boy.
It's a lock!
The lock of the week.
Cha-ching!
Pressure's on.
Pressure's on. So we all know that the Detroit Lions suck. They're no good. Unfortunately, my one bet at the beginning of the year where they were going to, you know, win the entire season.
Was this on my account?
Well, I made that money back like that day, so I wouldn't even worry about that bet.
So it was on my account.
I couldn't worry. Don't worry about it, Drew. It's your account. Don't worry about it.
Is that bet still in play?
Well, yes, because they're not technically eliminated from Super Bowl contention yet.
They have to win the Super Bowl to win the bet.
But they are 3-4-1, which is it's pretty lowly.
Just treat it as like an investment with Luke. Just forget about it. Brandon's going to take care of it.
Okay.
And he'll provide you a statement.
So normally
a lot
of
things
say,
slide with this account.
Normally I would say just stay away from the lines when you're trying to decide what to bet on. But!
Whoa.
But when you're on my account.
When you're on Drew's
got money.
But when they go into Chicago, which is even worse than the Detroit Lions, the Chicago Bears, who are 3-5-0, lost 4 straight, only averaged 17 points a game. Mitchell Trubisky sucks balls, and they're favored by 2.5. I'm taking the Lions plus 2.5.
Whoa! Lions. Oh, I like that bet, Brandon.
Yeah.
Because now I have an extra reason to be in the Lions game.
Oh, yeah.
It's the biggest sporting event in the world.
I mean, that's the beauty of betting, isn't it? Having something on the line yourself. Yes. It's like you're put on a uniform.
Oh, yeah. Well, you basically are.
Yeah. No, you are. You're probably going to be more emotional than the players themselves.
Yeah. Well, they get paid no matter what. Win or lose, they get paid.
So it's the Detroit Lions.
It's a lock.
The lock of the week.
Cha-ching!
Over the Chicago Bears.
Oh, gotcha.
Plus 2.5.
Plus 2.5. Okay.
Yeah.
Excited to find out. I can't wait till Sunday. God, I would fast forward to Sunday at 1 right now because I want to watch that game. Because the Lions.
It'll be a fun game. Should.
Is it over, Lions season? Do you feel like
yeah,
it's over?
Pretty much.
Okay. Well, still. Yeah.
So much for my over 6.5 wins.
I still like watching the Lions. And I think there's the added incentive of finding out, is Matt Patricia, is he going to pull a rabbit out of his hat and say win, you know, 5 out of 6
no.
or something? No?
No.
I don't think so either.
Wrong.
Honestly, if I could buy back my futures bet at like 20 cents on the dollar, I would right now.
Sorry to hear that. Is that in my account?
No, it's all my account.
Okay.
That's real money.
Because I know that if they, let's just say they win, I'm going to say even 5 out of the last 7. Well, five. That would mean they won 8 games, right?
Yep.
Because they're 3-4. Okay, let's say they win 3 out of the last 4 or the last 3. Don't you know they'll paint it as, oh, it's coming together. The players are buying in, and you just need to get to year 3 and get one more draft, and then it's almost all New England Patriots West.
Mm-hmm.
It's all Quinn's players and Patricia's picks, and it's all his coaching.
Probably what they're going to tell Martha, too.
Yeah, and Martha.
And Richard Gere's lookalike, yeah.
And you know, we had this conversation, Matt and Hungo and I, when we work out, we solve a lot of the world's problems. And I was, after the Raiders game, I felt, I don't think it's unfair at this point to discuss Matt Patricia. I think his ass should be on the line big time.
It is.
Because
I think a lot of people are questioning it.
9-7 was not good enough. And that doesn't mean, because I've said that before, and people go, well, I didn't want Caldwell here. That's not the issue.
Yeah.
The issue was 9-7. I felt Caldwell did a good job, but I was ready to move on. I mean, there was definitely a step to take. Mm-hmm. So they go 6-10. The defense is not good. He's supposed to be a defensive genius.
Somebody's got that pencil.
Yeah, he's got the pencil behind the ear. He's got shtick. And this year, the defense is terrible. I don't think the drafts have been that good either, but when I brought it up with the...
He also has that alleged sexual assault.
Well, that,
no
that
one
was,
ever talks about it.
That was a rough start.
Just saying.
I felt like... That was
just
his,
saying.
That was his mulligan. I almost felt like 6-10. Get him out of here!
Big mulligan.
But anyway, when I brought it up with the World Problem Solving Group, Hungo said...
The Star Chamber?
Yeah, Star Chamber. Hungo said, and I think Matt kind of agreed with him, that, well, I don't want to be changing coaches and administrations every 2 years. And I think there's probably a lot of people who will give them slack for that dumb reason that...
That's not a good reason, though.
I don't think so either.
It's professional sports. You could change a coach every year
and
if you wanted to.
And you
to.
Also get the thing of, who are they going to get?
It's anybody.
Like, when you feel
anybody.
That your sucky team should keep its coach because who are you going to get? I think you've really given up.
I understand that a little more with college because of recruits and you got to convince them to stay. And it's just different than choosing a player and you sign them.
But you're still staying with something that you don't think is working.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm not totally dreamweavering about all of this, but
I'm surprised.
I'm curious, though.
I'm fired!
Why wouldn't you want to stay with somebody for a couple of years to get them, let them develop some stuff? I mean, don't they get any traction as time goes on?
Sound like Mark defending Harbaugh.
Well, that, but see, I do think that's different.
Making Hungo's case?
Because they show signs of going in the wrong direction when we should be feeling some momentum going forward, and I'm not feeling it myself.
The NFL's built on parity, so you could fix a team in 1 year.
Yeah, people turn things around pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look at the Rams last year. I mean, teams do it. It doesn't always happen that way. I mean, I would have been happy to give him 3 years if I was watching, as so many were. For example, go back to the Green Bay game. Hey, that was a great loss. Kansas City, we only lost by 3 points. Yeah. I mean,
but we also got lucky against
Packers suck.
Eagles.
We got screwed with the Packers. But since that game, I think they've been awful.
Yeah, especially the defense.
Yeah, so.
Blow them out.
So there's that.
Let Twitter coach it.
But let's move on to the headline news that I'm frankly going to say we just plain missed a story. I mean, here's this giant story in front of us. Fox 2 is all over it. And, I mean, they just killed it. And I know that Joanne and Jell-O were out tailgating at Popeyes.
They were.
Yes, they were. I think.
Wait, why do you have to tailgate at Popeyes? They have the food.
Well, I think they were just excited because Popeyes is here. And that was a big, to me, it's
an advertiser?
Oh, for sure.
Are now.
It's got to be, right?
I wondered if Fox 2 perhaps saw that there could be potentially a lot of money coming from Popeyes. And they thought it might be a nice story to have Amy and Jay Towers drive out to Popeyes and spend three or four valuable minutes of news time to announce that they thought the food was really good. I mean, were they really going to trash Popeyes food?
Oh, what if they didn't like it?
And the chicken sandwich, of course.
Chicken is the shiznit.
People are murdering each other over the chicken sandwich.
Yeah, I wish they would have just fake stabbed each other with a nod to
that. Would have been great. That would have been worth it.
That would have been great television.
Yes.
They might have lost their jobs,
Halloween.
Depending on how big the account is. But let's see.
It's true.
Exciting
it is
story.
Like the hottest item in the world of fast food right now, really? The Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Yeah, we wanted to see firsthand what all that hype was about.
They can mention the murder.
It was worth the wait. So come take a ride with us.
The chicken is how large to you.
This really gets me in the mood for chicken.
Oh, yes.
Wait, they don't know to turn the radio down in the car when they're filming?
Oh, he's probably cranking that.
You're right. They're listening to him. Yeah. Jay makes everybody listen to him in the car. Good move, Jay.
Of course he does.
Well done.
He's on TV and radio at the same time.
Yeah, at the radio station, he makes people watch the TV.
That's true.
How can he resist? I mean, if you really wanted to have two shows on at once, wouldn't you have to love yourself a certain amount?
This really gets me in the mood for chicken.
Oh, yes.
Janice Mazzoli wants to go. Oh, they're listening to Christmas music.
We haven't even
music.
Gone anywhere yet. It feels like we've been in the car for 5 hours.
Are we there yet?
We're not even out of the parking lot.
Jay doesn't want to do
it. Can
you
pause for a second?
Jay doesn't want to do this bit.
I just want
to. He doesn't.
He looks weary. He does.
I don't want to do this bit.
I wanted to mention how evolved Jay is, but it's actually how tired he is. Amy's driving.
Oh. Well,
is Amy a take charge kind of girl?
Jay just finished two shows. Come on.
That's true.
Yeah.
And he finished it in like one show's time.
And they're facing long lines coming up.
I really would rather be driven somewhere on a car for somebody to drive me in. I mean,
I think I feel the same way.
Sometimes, yeah. So
I have chicken.
Why does the Christmas music have to do with chicken?
The chicken is known.
FWNIC Christmas music in the car.
And
remember?
They're just taking a chicken breast. They're coating it in that stuff.
Yeah,
and they're putting it on bread.
The bun is supposed to be to die for.
How good could the bun be?
Jay doesn't care.
Know.
He hates this bit. I love it.
But if people are waiting in line for hours...
Doesn't mean it's good.
I think they're waiting in line to wait in line.
Do you have your wallet?
Yeah.
Oh, she's bringing JPay?
I got mine. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Come on.
Stars don't care, man. Look at the line.
Ooh, that's by my house. I know where that is.
That's crazy.
Well, let's...
We're gonna
wait, pause for a second.
Yes.
What the fuck is going on? Why are there all these cars in line for Popeyes?
The sandwiches.
It's the new chicken sandwich that disappeared because they ran out nationwide, and now it's back.
This is not the movie you have to see. I mean, it's a new fast food item.
But last time...
It's not a new iPhone. It's not a new game. It's nothing.
But last time it disappeared so fast, Drew.
A couple of days ago, Kristen was at Somerset. And she said, hey, you want me to pick up anything on my way home? I said... Yeah, get some of the Chick-fil-A, because I've never really eaten. I think I've had it once at an airport. So she waited in a line for like 28
they
minutes.
They still have a line?
What?
Oh, yeah.
In the mall.
For 5 years, right?
Seriously?
Just oh, yeah. To bring
that's not fast food anymore.
But she got it.
Shouldn't they make it a restaurant?
It redefined it as slow food, fast casual. I don't know.
If I would have been there with her, we would not have waited in line.
But, no.
But I asked her, and she decided to do it.
So. Brandon wears the pants in that house.
Oh, wow. Sweet of her.
For nice Chick-fil-A. And they hate gay people, too. And still there's a long line.
They don't hate.
Is there any connection?
That's why your wife hates gay people.
They
now,
don't hate
she
gay people.
Waited in line. She waited in line to hate gays.
They don't.
You made her wait in line to hate gays.
Amy and Jay are risking their lives because people are murdering each other over the chicken sandwich. It happened when a guy butt in line in Baltimore and was stabbed to death. And do you know today there were discussions, should they take it off the menu due to violence?
No,
I'm not joking, Mark.
It's not a real discussion. No, because the answer is no. Next question.
Not. Well, it was TMZ, and they were questioning as to should they still be selling
it. I don't want it, but I want to see someone eat it.
How dumb is that, by the way?
Oh,
should they take it out? Really?
It's stupid.
No, that's not against the law. It's the stabbing part that's against the
law. There's a general rule. If you see a news story that ends in a question mark, the answer is no.
That's a good point.
Oh,
I'm going to start thinking about
that. I
mean,
that's a real thing. Like, there's a lot of studies that the answer is usually no. It's
like, did millennials kill blah, blah, blah? No.
No, they did. I mean, that's usually a definitive statement.
Even,
millennials did kill.
Yeah,
blah,
they
blah,
did.
Blah.
There's usually not a question mark.
All right, back to chicken.
To even suggest that they should take a fast food item off because it's something people will murder you over.
I got news for you.
Come on.
Those two people would have murdered each other like in a bank line. Are they going to stop banking? You know, it's just whatever. Those two people are idiots and they met at the wrong place
People used to murder each other over the new Nikes, the
Michael
Jordans. And
I felt like they kind of missed
Calvin Klein sunglasses. So.
The story, too. Like, I would have liked to know the guy that butted in line. Does he butt in line a lot? Did he really butt in line?
Oh, his backstory?
Yeah.
His origin story. I
would like to know more about that.
His origin story and then his death right there.
Before we get too far away from this, I'm going to get too far away from this by bringing up Trudy and I had a conversation upstairs about Buffalo Wild Wings and all the firings going on there. Because
There's got to be more to that story.
I know. This is just insane. Yeah. Buffalo Wild Wings, huge incident because a black party of 18 comes in, which, you know, a party of 18, that's fabulous. Mm-hmm. And instead, they're told, well... We'd sit you over here, but that's a regular customer, and he doesn't like black people. So we're going to sit you over here.
What?
Yeah, so, of course, they bring it to Buffalo Wild Wings. They start firing people, and the regular customer, by the way, is banned. Is he banned?
From all Buffalo Wild Wings,
is
everywhere.
His picture up in every Buffalo Wild Wings.
He would try to get in them all.
Is he really banned?
Yes, from all. Yeah.
Did the fired employees go, well, you said the customer was always right. He was there first.
Oh, that's a...
Wouldn't
you? That's a pretty
plausible.
No,
there's two crazy things here. One, and I know I'll never find this out. The regular customer. Did this guy have a $500,000 a year account at Buffalo Wild Wings? How big a customer was he?
Kidding. 18 people is going to net you a pretty nice bill.
Yeah, I mean, he sounds like a giant customer. And then also the Yahoo that carried the mail, the pigeon that carried the mail from that guy, he actually comes back to the black person and says, you know what, I'd sit you over there, but this regular customer doesn't like black people. I mean, really? They expected this guy to go, oh, okay, yeah. Well, so where do you want us to sit? I mean, really? Yeah. Shouldn't she have said, you know what, there's some problems in that area. We got this real jackass customer. Well, she
right.
could have shaded
no, that's
the truth.
Tact.
I would have wanted her to lie.
Just be tactful.
And not to mention the fact
what I mean by that is go, oh, yeah, I'll go tell them, and then just not tell them. Go, oh, they don't want to be crazy.
Right.
When the regular customer says, I don't want black people sitting near me, shouldn't there be a meeting where they go, okay, how big is this? How much money does this guy spend? I mean, do we really kowtow to this guy, or should we throw him on his ass?
Oh, we do have audio from him. Let's see here.
Tell me likey. Tell me want wingy.
She.
I mean, I would think they would just say, fuck this guy. There's nobody keeping our doors open. Fuck you. But instead, she just blindly goes over and says, you know what? Doesn't like black people. It's a good customer. So, yeah, you got to go. I mean, that's mad.
I am utterly amazed that they actually tried to fulfill his request.
I know. It's so weird. Blindly. I mean, not even like a, you know, I'm really embarrassed to say this, but this guy over there, he doesn't like sitting next to black people. So here's what we're going to do. Just thought that they would just go along with it.
And we're going to move you 18 people rather than move him one racist dude. And by the way, doesn't that whole story, didn't it seem so surreal, like it couldn't be real?
No, Trudy, like it was made I so up. Agree. Yes, I feel like there's something we don't know, like the 18 people just come in and they get water and they eat ketchup packets. You know, there's something huge missing, isn't there?
They were throwing things at him or something. I don't know.
Racist.
They showed the little kids, and the little kids are, you know, like, and they looked very sad.
They were very affected.
Yeah. So,
they were wrong.
Wait, so now you're telling me, see, I want more information now. Are you telling me that the adult black people went to the little black people and said, can you believe this? That white guy over there, he doesn't want black people sitting near him. So the kids start crying because they're dragged into this sort of like, what's his face? Pierre Trudeau of Canada. Said, going to the 5-year-old and saying, I wore blackface once because I disrespected black people and made a 5-year-old really upset who never would have known about it.
You're close. They didn't tell him at the Buffalo Wild Wings. They told the children at the press conference about what happened.
The kids were at the press conference.
The kids were well, they couldn't get a sitter.
How old were the kids?
They have 18 kids.
We need so much more information. Yeah. Can we call someone? Is there someone we can we call? Can we call the actual Buffalo Wild Wings?
Let me find them.
It's in Naperville, right? Is Naperville,
My niece lives
there.
That's
what I was going to ask you.
My sister used to live
there. It's like the Hootersville of Illinois. They just don't have... They don't have...
It's a pretty big place.
Very tactful people.
I didn't know this.
Wait,
staff. Call Stacy and find out.
So weird.
Okay, back to Amy and Jay.
She'll call Stacy.
It was a terrible detour.
She's a correspondent, isn't she, for the Buffalo Wild Wings?
She could be.
Yeah.
But we're left where Jay's miserable. He wants nothing to do with this bid.
Are you surprised how openly miserable Jay is?
No.
Jay's never miserable.
I think it's great.
I'm proud of him for not sucking up.
Amy looks good.
Can we call him and see how miserable he was?
Amy does look very good. She's cute in a baseball hat. I like that look.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on!
It literally is almost onto the road.
That's crazy.
I'm waiting and I'm waiting.
Well, let's.
We're gonna be here for an hour.
No. Well.
We've been here an hour.
No. At least.
What?
No. Jake could get two shows done in that time.
Did you pee before we left the station?
No. Jay's officially losing it.
At least we have our Christmas music. Have a
holiday. Why the picking bowl?
It's the best time.
Come on!
We're not even on the inner rim.
But look! Yeah, how do you get out?
You should file a complaint with human resources. That's bullying. He doesn't want to be here. Now you're cranking the Christmas music he has to listen to all the time.
You know what's really funny is what's about to happen is Jay gets out of the car. He can't handle it. He's so put out. He gets out of the car. I don't know what he does, but somehow he gets the food moving to them.
He's Jay Ty. Probably. I'm Jay
I think
Howard.
He pulled rank. I really do.
Good. Good for him.
We're on the outer rim. We got to go around the building.
I never thought it would be like this.
Really?
I didn't think it'd be like this.
I wonder if I should go in and scope it out.
They have Jay Towers.
And he's always he's
negotiating.
Look,
what?
He's getting stopped already, and he's just trying to get a Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Jay walked by the car in front of him, who recognized him and rolled down the window. Jay! And Jay, you know, was like, wanted to go, fuck you. I just finished two shows. I want some fucking chicken sandwiches. Leave me alone.
I need to wrap up this TV.
But he's very gracious.
I'm surprised he didn't find someone who just bought the sandwich and give them $100 for the sandwich.
Oh, that's a great idea. It's a good idea.
Outer rim, we got to go around the building.
I never
He's already paying for
like
Amy.
This.
She
really?
Forgot her wallet.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
I wonder if I should go in and scope it out.
Jay's going in.
Slow down.
And he's always...
Look, he's getting stopped already, and he's just trying to get a Popeye's chicken sandwich.
You know what? It's cash only.
Is it cash only at the drive-thru, too?
Oh,
the cameraman
had money from our photographer so we can get chicken sandwiches.
He should file a complaint with the union.
How much rent did Jay pull?
Do you think Jay will get mad if I change the channel? We're turning the corner.
Did she put the breeze on?
What happens if I... Should I... Look what he got. Three classic, three spicy.
Wait, she's getting texts on her watch. She wanted to show off her watch. Is this product placement?
This is multi-product placement.
Amy can write off her Apple Watch now.
This is an,
use it on TV.
Is this an infomercial and we didn't see the crawl? What's going on here?
It totally is. Everything about it.
For
it's pretty spicy.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's Popeye's chicken and I see Christmas music.
That's great. It's worth it.
Only took us about no,
it's minutes. Officially a commercial.
Once he said that.
That was fun.
It was fun. And it was a good sandwich. I've said this over and over again, but I think because it's in such high demand. Uh-huh. I think it tastes better because it's an high demand.
Sure.
I think if you could get that everywhere, I'd be like, yeah, that's a good chicken.
I swear, if the first spot out of the break is not Popeye's, that should roll at Fox 2.
Make sure you take cash and just be patient.
I say go into the store, too.
Oh, go into the store.
Yeah.
We had a great experience. We went to the Oak Park location. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
I had so much fun.
It wasn't.
And then you finally came.
He did not have that much fun. That's one of the most insincere things Jay Towers has ever said.
A journalist who did a great job with that story there.
Paid for everything.
Cash on it.
Yeah. We got six sandwiches, too, so they were cool with that. And you can buy the sandwiches just as they are. You don't have to
This commercial's gone on long enough, Jay.
Jay, we know how to order food at a restaurant.
Get whatever you want. There's not special rules.
Great.
You know, you just get it as you like it.
Yeah, I know important people think this is a big deal to achieve a fast food order, but geez, Jay.
When Jay was talking
about... You're like Bush at the grocery store going, hey, what's that binking noise?
Here's Jay's inner monologue when he said that it was really good. Here's what he really wanted to think.
Hey, this tastes like shit.
But did you order you something to eat?
I don't get not taking a card. I went to a golf course. It was like, we're cash only. It's like, well, can't I just get with the time?
How can Popeyes not take credit cards?
They
got problems with lines, and they don't take credit cards?
Credit cards are always faster.
Yeah. Have you found Buffalo Wild Wings yet, Brandon?
Yeah.
We have so many questions. Hall Financial Hotline. Hall Financial Hotline is open, and you need to know that because you're interested in lower payments, better options, more personal attention. You got that long slog, that mortgage, 30 years, or maybe it's 20 left, or maybe 23 years left. Well, what if you paid a little less every month because you refinanced with Hall Financial? Think of all the money you'll save. Some people decide to save money by shortening their mortgage because they want to get the damn thing paid off so they can free up even more money. Well, Hall Financial can take care of that for you, too. And those of you who are intimidated by all the details and, am I going to get ripped off? Is this going to be a worse deal? Let Hall Financial handle that part. They will only save you money. And if they can't, they'll tell you. We have many, many people who have dealt with Hall Financial and enjoyed the personal attention.
Not only that, if they can't at the moment, that doesn't mean they can't for forever.
Very true.
They can down the road. So.
And they shop around, unlike some institutions that have one rate for you. No matter what day you come in, they shop around. They've got many, many options, and they do it quickly. 44 days is the average. Hall Financial gets it done in 19 days, the average refi. Over 800 five-star reviews. Go to drewandmike.hallfg.com or go to the website, click the link, fill out the online form, and they get back to you as soon as 30 seconds. Honestly. Go to Hall Financial. You won't be disappointed. drewandmike.hallfg.com, NMLS number 1467435. And do you need another minute, Brandon?
Yeah.
No, I think we're pretty good. We can dial up Buffalo Wild Wings in Naperville, Illinois.
I'm just looking for a chicken theme song. So.
Oh, chicken dance? Da, 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 da.
No, this one fits the season, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Playing Christmas music just because WNIC plays Christmas music?
Yeah, well, it fits.
What song is this? Oh, I know what song this is.
What are you talking about?
This is a stroke of my I know what this is.
My neighbor's home, and I'm listening. My dick is hard, its head is glistening.
What does this have to do with chicken?
A beautiful
Wait
sight. I squeeze it real tight. I love to choke my chicken with my hands.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Trudy.
Oh, on the nose.
Thanks for calling Buffalo Wild Wings in Naperville. How can I help you?
Hi, this is the Drew and Mike show, and we just wanted to ask a couple questions about the incident with the party of 18. Just a couple quick questions.
Okay, let me put you on hold for a minute.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
Now, the two people that got blown out were the managers there. So
okay.
Maybe someone got elevated to the manager. It's their first day as a manager.
She didn't sound as uptight as I thought she'd be.
They're probably going to call. People like to say
that I'm a loner. So this
will be the new manager then.
Well, what's going to rhyme with loner?
Well, turn it up, Brandon. What is it?
Thanks for holding. How may I help you?
Hi, this is the Drew and Mike show calling, and we just want to ask a couple questions about the incident. I know you guys have
unfortunately, sir, there's not much I can say. I can tell you that the managers that were involved have been terminated.
Oh, good. I'm glad
I
to hear that.
I can tell you that one of the guests that was here, not part of the party, has been banned for life.
Wow. Now, that's really swift response. Congratulations on that. Is that person, are they banned from all Buffalo Wild Wings or just
from
your
all corporate and franchise stores?
Wow. And do they send a photograph around so everybody knows who he is?
Sir, I don't know how that's being handled. That's all I can tell you, though.
Would you say that's above your pay grade?
That, a little bit.
Okay.
I like that when people say that.
Yeah. No, as
okay, guys. Thank just, you so just, much. Just one, I appreciate your time, though, okay?
Oh,
okay.
One more question.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, just one more.
Okay.
Oh. Wait. No, you said okay. I think we're disconnected. I think we got disconnected.
He's a new manager, right?
Thought he handled it pretty well.
Yeah.
What if he just said that?
He didn't just say, you know, right, I can't talk
to
you.
I wasn't even sure what my one more question was, to be honest. And, oh, I'm so pleased to announce that things are going well with J.P. Kush.
Oh,
they're getting
good
calls, and they should. And Trudy, I keep referencing you, and I don't think you've ever been here when I did the commercial. This business of being self-employed and stuck on Cobra, or your health insurance rates just jumped, and so you don't know what the hell to do. And you went to Luke Nowacki,
right?
Who helped you?
His people found a program or like,
right.
One that
but
fit
you,
me.
You didn't want to weave through all the BS.
No.
Yeah, and so you let Luke do it.
I need somebody with a little experience,
and he's that kind of guy. He cuts
they
through.
Wanted me to take the whole physical for that.
It probably wasn't Luke's favorite activity.
No, but
I don't think he made any money doing it. But he serviced his customer, which is great.
But now there's the, now
J.P. Kush. Yeah, J.P. Kush with the ping pong ball in the jingle. J.P. Kush and Associates. Trudy,
hey,
doesn't
Kush.
Doesn't that sound like a ping pong ball?
It does sound like a ping pong ball.
It is a ping pong ball.
Hey, Kush.
It does.
And we're going to find Mr. Kush and make sure of that. But I'm pretty sure I want to go on the record saying I think it's a ping pong ball. J.P. Kush and Associates, they promise their customers always get the best health coverage available at the lowest rates out there. They shop all the carriers, kind of like Hall Financial does, not just the few that get them the highest commissions. J.P. Kush finds you the best coverage and prices. That's why their customers keep coming back year after year, and it doesn't cost you.
I agree.
It doesn't cost you any money. You pay the same if you use a broker or if you contact the carrier directly yourself. So why wouldn't you call? I mean, for me, I'd much rather make one phone call and go, yeah, done.
Take care.
Because I made this call.
Out. And yeah. I've wanted this to happen for years, and so they've actually finally had.
Yeah, you found
Luke. Years and years and years, I wanted them to do something like this, and now J.P. Kush is doing it. So.
They are. Call 855-4-J-P-KUSH, K-U-S-H.
Hey, Kush.
And just think of the ping pong ball. If you want to get a quote today, or go to jpkush.com. They work with all the top-rated carriers like Blue Cross, Priority Health, and Molina. J.P. Kush and Associates, 855-4-J-P-KUSH. J.P. Kush, K-U-S-H, just like in the ping pong ball exchanger.
You know I don't do contracts, but what you do have is my word, and it's stronger than oak.
There's Mr. Kush right there. There's no better call to make for health insurance. Make sure to tell them you are a listener of the Drew and Mike program. Ah. Hey, we're 59 minutes in.
We are.
Is the show flying by today?
Yeah,
sure is.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Yeah.
A lot of stuff.
There's
a lot
of Popeyes.
My God.
Wait, a lot of weird stuff happened.
We sure have more commercials than we did two months ago.
Good.
Or 3 months ago. I know, thank God.
I know, all this cobbling.
I know.
Cobbled together some advertising.
When you cobble together a living, all of a sudden, when you get some commercials, it's really nice. voice. C-T-A-L. And by the way, the cobbling picture was very good. Was that Brandon's handiwork?
Well, they, both Zoovs and Brandon did one, so.
Oh.
Brandon's one.
Yeah, I was cobbling a shoe together.
I don't know if we told him.
Zeus mysteriously said something about Drew cobbling together his life, and I was like, what? What are you talking about? And he goes, you'll have to listen to the podcast.
Fuck that shit.
What a tease.
I know.
He's like a real-life promo. He really Can you go tell everybody that, Zeus?
Technically, it's cobbling together a living, but you know that if you listen to the show. Yeah. Janet Dahl. Trudy. She really
7 a.m. So.
You know, it was just too close to the one-star rating where they said sad people.
It was very close.
Trying to get by.
It was so close. It sounded almost identical.
Are you saying she left a one-star rating?
I'm saying Janet might be Adam.
Oh.
Adam H. Yeah. The dreaded Adam H. Our friend and original sponsor, Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, launched their Jeep Adventure Days. And you better believe it's as exciting as it sounds because during Zod Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Jeep Adventure Days, you can finally get the brand new Jeep you've been yearning for. How about leasing a new 19 Jeep Compass Limited as low as $166 a month? Or if you prefer the Mac Daddy, you can lease a new loaded 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $268 a month. And our friends at Zod have one of the largest Jeep inventories in the state, so that means lots of sweet Jeeps for you to choose from. Finally, we can't get through a Zod Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram read without mentioning Ram trucks. Go lease a new 19 Ram Crew Cab Bighorn Edition as low as $145 a month. And yes, Zot has an ass ton of Rams to choose from also. See details in their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. Hey,
is Naperville where this Buffalo Wild Wings happened? Is that where? Oh, no, that was Skokie with the KKK
thing,
right?
Oh, yeah, that was Skokie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Skokie. Yeah,
apparently, Naperville does have quite the history, though, of racial incidents.
Oh, really?
Naperville does?
Including one over the summer where a gas station drew protesters after a clerk told Hispanic customers. Anybody want to guess what he told the Hispanic customers?
That he can't get served there.
You gotta go back to your country.
What? Oh, my God.
Whoops. Well, same difference.
And then months before that, a state rep said in a social media comment that Naperville had an ongoing history of white supremacist policies.
Wow.
Well, white
so you have
policies.
So who lives there from your family?
My niece Stacy,
Trudy,
and John.
Okay.
And adorable little girls.
Okay. I was talking to a friend the other day who used to work with us quite a while ago, and she was wondering about going to Dr. Roche and getting
for
an eyelid lift and an eyebrow lift.
She sounds hot.
She said she was. Looked in the mirror, felt like she looked a little bit tired, and that's exactly spot on the thing you're supposed to do.
And it's one of those easy things that can make a big difference
really
in the way
easy.
Your face looks.
Definitely. Fresh. And so she did the right thing. She went for a consultation, and Dr. Roche right now is making people's wishes come true to look fabulous before the holidays by doing your procedures right now in November, like breast augmentation. Ho-ho holidays, stocking stuffers like $3,500 for saline breast implants.
I agree.
Pre-holiday Restylane, that's kind of a crack filler for crevices that we get from worry and stress and forehead cupping. Buy one. The second one, $100 off for Restylane. And non-invasive Girona, 11 treatments before Christmas. And you're going to need the time now to get it in before Christmas for cellulite on the thighs and the butt and the belly. And then add arms and neck for a special price. Serona 11 treatments, $353. That's regular $1,600. So go see Dr. Roche for all of your holiday fix-up ideas. And you can also, there's a pre-holiday lash special, a free aftercare kit, which is a $50 value, with a full set of lashes.
Oh.
So lash enhancements makes it so you never have to get up in the morning and put on mascara, girls.
I don't know how you ladies do that.
And guys do it too, but that's just Green Day.
What?
Oh, okay,
they
you know,
do? They wear lashes?
Guy liner and stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
Guy liner.
No, right. He doesn't do guy liner, but Dr. That's Roche.
Still a thing. I mean, I don't know.
Well, the emo phase seems to be out, but you still see a lot of rockers.
We do see a lot of that, yeah. Smoky eyes
what
on
What phase
guys.
Is in now, Brandon?
You know, I
the
I
emo
know.
Phase is out. What's the new one?
I would say mumble rap. I would say face tattoos and mumble rap is what's in right now.
All right,
because probably, I mean, look at your Machine Gun Kellys and your Tekashis and your I don't know.
You're more tied to the street than I am.
DRROCHE.com to look at the before and after pictures and check it for a consultation at 248-338-1110. Dr. Roche.
When Brandon said Machine Gun Kelly, it reminded me of Kid Kelly. Who made the Radio Hall of Fame last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, what a fine career. But anyway,
wow,
this year
there's a grudge.
He's not doing any
a long game.
He's a big shot at Sirius. His wife was on Howard.
That was weird.
Campaigning for him. It's weird that they campaign for themselves now, too, because, you know, the public can all vote.
Yeah.
So, gee, guess who made it this year? Kevin and Bean.
Yep. Yeah. No,
and, well, you know, they've been on top of L.A. for 30 years.
Yeah, and they're stepping down in December 7th, I think.
Really? Just Bean, not
just
Kevin.
Bean is? Okay. Well, the show's ending, but yeah.
I think it's going to continue as Kevin and something, I think. I don't, maybe I'm wrong.
Well, that'd be kind of lame to have Kevin and something else.
That'd be great if it was just Kevin and something. That'd be really
We should send that to Kevin.
Yeah.
Welcome to the jungle, Kevin.
That should be the current name of the show, because I don't know what it's going to be. But anyway, yeah, so they made it. I was happy for them. I think they deserve it, of course. And then there was Rush Limbaugh.
Okay, yeah.
He's dominated for a long time.
Took that long.
Yeah, I was really surprised by that. Then, let's see. Oh, Jim Rome.
Surprised that took so long.
Yeah, he's done well for quite a while, although he's a younger guy from a Hall of Fame standpoint. And then the fourth one is the one that, I don't know. If I think about the fourth person too much, cobbling together a living will probably enter my brain. The wonderful, inimitable, memorable Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, no.
Ryan Seacrest.
What Hall of Fame is this?
The Radio Hall of Fame. Hey, yeah.
Seacrest, out!
Let's hear about the great bits Ryan Seacrest has done over the years.
I think it's big guesses.
It's a great connection he has.
He does, but they're not memorable, are they?
He's never said memorable? Anything memorable. Seacrest, out is about the most memorable thing ever
that
because it was
even
so
on
dumb.
Radio.
I know,
that
it was so
television.
Dumb. Seacrest in. Seacrest out. Oh, my God, how silly. So dumb he stopped doing it.
Yeah.
But that's the most memorable thing I can think of he's ever done.
Trying to look.
You said it, Dick.
Yeah, he did the countdown. Once again, that was on TV.
He was part of the Dick Clark Year's broadcast when no one dared to tell Dick that he should absolutely be nowhere near a microphone.
Thank you, Ryan, very much.
Well, yeah, because he was still a producer.
And you know, the whole thing sucks. You got this guy who's a legend, and he really can't speak clearly. He had a stroke, and he's doesn't want
to
let
just
it go.
Maintain.
Yeah, he's trying.
I think Ryan got
everything's,
power.
Everything's cool.
I think Ryan had power of attorney over Dick Clark. And he just kept it going. He probably runs his company now. It's probably been folded into Seacrest Productions or whatever it is.
By the way, someone called in and said, "Now this is just for someone." That they saw you with Terry Hatcher.
So I know everyone knows who Ryan Seacrest is, so I guess that's why.
Hey, did you know Paul W. Smith is in the National Radio Hall of Fame?
What?
Paul W. Smith?
I'm just looking at the
WJR Paul W. Smith?
That's the same one.
You know. Man, I forgot to bring my Paul W. Smith coin. Zeus told me to bring it for show and tell one time.
You have a Paul W. Smith coin?
Yeah. We were doing the broadcast at Joe Louis. And
I didn't realize he was on currency. Is that big? Of course, WJR bills so much
heaviest
money.
Coin you'll...
Every second of the airwaves is about money or commercials, so I guess he should have a coin.
It's weird because I hadn't seen him since I worked with him in Toledo, and that was probably 20 years, and he was like, oh, hey. By the way,
was he Hall of Fame worthy then?
I don't know. I mean, I really don't know what magic was going on behind the mic. But,
does it look just like this?
It does.
Yeah, I found
it. It's the red one.
It's a National Radio Hall of Fame coin.
That's his coin.
Each and every day count.
Wait, he gave it to you?
He gave me one. He said his wife made him make some of those up, and so he thought he was...
Wait, his wife made him?
What a stupid brother.
Wait, so his wife
just... suggested that his wife was behind getting the coin thing together, if I remember that right.
Okay, he was against the Paul W. Smith coin being made in mass quantities, but his wife could not go on until there were more Paul W. Smith coins put into existence.
One might have intimated that that was the behind the scenes.
Did she have dreams of Bitcoin-type presence on the world markets? And the Paul W. Smith coin went up 0.2% today.
You know who else is in this Hall of Fame? Bobby Bones is in the Hall of Fame.
I know. I saw
it's
Bobby
like 12.
Bones.
Really?
No, I was pissed about that. I actually listened to the show.
He's in a Hall of Fame that also includes FDR. Something seems off when FDR and Bobby Bones are
he's
in a Hall of Fame together.
Yeah.
The fireside chats.
Crazy.
Why is Bobby Bones in the Radio Hall of Fame?
Why is Bobby?
Because he was on Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah.
Oh.
He won.
He's in a couple of commercials too, and I was like, "What the fuck is Bobby Bones?"
He was
he's a country,
saying his name like I should know it.
He's a country guy.
He was at the NFL draft. Remember, he was hosting that with Robin Roberts.
He's live in Nashville.
Two people I associate with the NFL greatly: Robin Roberts and somebody named Bobby Bones.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
the world is so insane.
I listened to some of his show to torture myself. He's a lot like Seacrest, but he's the country Seacrest, I would say. He's never going to upset you. He's very smooth.
There's another name that's in here. Garrison Keillor. Isn't he canceled by now?
Yeah, he should be canceled.
Pull him out.
Well, you know, you hadn't heard one word out of him since that came out, right?
He's been canceled.
Zip.
Nothing. I know, and the thing about Garrison Keillor, I know this is terrible, because sexual assault, it doesn't matter who it is, but I would, if I had to choose who was going to sexually assault me, Garrison Keillor is so gross, isn't he?
Yeah, but remember, he assaulted with his words.
He's got really white set eyes, and...
Yeah, he's really bizarre looking. I mean, it seems like there's some chromosomal issue there. I mean, I don't know, it just seems like it. Yes, let me take Layla upstairs.
Totally.
I'm like so fascinated with this list. John John Tesh?
Tesh.
John Tesh, did a radio show?
Is Tesh still alive?
Oh, I'm sure he's probably touring.
He's another guy that you haven't heard of.
There you go.
Basketball, gimme the ball. I don't know any of his other music, just this song.
Oh, you would. Because it's in a bunch of commercials and stuff. But I thought he had to have did he have a radio show?
I guess so. I think he had a syndicated show. I think to be local and get in, because it's all about me.
Wait. He's
you can't be local.
American.
You got to be just gigantic like Johnny B. and Stephen Gary.
John Tesh, American pianist?
Yep.
Yeah.
In the Rock and Roll, or in the Radio Hall of Fame?
In the Wikipedia notation.
Yeah, no, he tours, Trudy.
I know he's in music, but wasn't he well known for being in radio and TV?
John Tesh, to me, is the guy in E.T.
Yeah.
That's what I think of when I think of John Tesh. And the NBA song.
You guys have to go on YouTube and watch him do the NBA song live. It's really cool.
I did see that, Mark.
Air dribbles?
Yeah,
it's really funny.
And the crowd eats it up. That's the part that embarrassed me.
You know, we always wondered.
I was really embarrassed and glad that I resigned from the species when I saw how low the lowest common denominator can be.
What I've discovered is that there are many different ways to write a song in the most unusual way.
Oh, that's right. Every concert of his is like storytellers, too.
I was trying to write a sports theme, and I did not have a piano in the hotel where I was staying, so I did probably what many of you have done, faced with a similar situation.
No one has been
I called my answering machine at home, and I left a message for myself.
I never did that.
And although that sounds goofy, what happened was that theme that I sang into the machine is the theme that they play every time the Chicago Bulls crush another basketball team. So I am singing themes into my machine regularly, and I know you were dying to hear it.
It's like a minute-long intro.
Jesus. But it has to be played on the original answering machine. So here now, the original demo tape for this particular song for pro basketball.
Hi, this is a message for me about the NBA theme. Here's an idea. It goes like this.
Oh, my.
Here comes the... Oh, look out. Here comes the dribble.
That's pretty cool. Wait, why are those people dressed up for his concert? There it is, air dribbling.
Tesh is nuts!
You're into it, admit it.
Kind of.
Look at him, he's running around.
Looks like such a dope dribbling, too. That's the part that bothers me.
Whoa, now he's doing it! Oh my god, what a showman!
He's wailing on the piano.
He's a vest
wearer.
He's
just banging the same note over and over.
That thing's not even plugged in.
Does he wear a puffy shirt, too? He is so unique.
But he chose the puffy shirt, unlike Seinfeld.
Oh, my God, violin.
That's
wow.
What makes that SNL bit that, what's his name, Tim Robinson from Clarkston?
Yeah.
That's what makes that bit even better is when they're pitching that song to the NBC.
Oh.
he had to have gotten it from that YouTube thing.
Yeah, they're wearing the exact
wearing
same attire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Another enemy of the show. How many enemies can we have? This is kind of, am I turning into Trump? I'm finding an enemy everywhere I turn.
Hey, it works for him.
And I have to fight. I got to fight back.
I think the measure of a person is who loves them and who hates them. So I think it's impressive.
Okay. All right.
You have enemies?
It wasn't really about collecting enemies for a long time. But, you know, in this cancel culture, when you find out that you're being canceled by people, once a week or so. Actually, there hasn't been that many people.
Some of it,
us.
Some of it you brought on yourself, like Fred.
No, I didn't know.
A powerful enemy today, my friend.
Mark was the one that was mean to Fred.
I was not mean to him.
You were an asshole.
It was according to Fred. You're only hearing Fred's side of the story.
What do you think makes Fred so like explosive?
We don't know. God. That's my biggest mystery in life right now.
Does he have Facebook?
I think that,
we don't know. I don't want to even know his last name.
I suspect
scared.
Fred has had more phone calls for Danny Ainge than he likes to let on.
Remember
what a huge point he made about, oh, there was another guy right before me and it wasn't Danny Ainge.
Yeah. How could he even know that? Oh, that's right, because the guy had bills and bill collectors.
Oh, that's right.
I'm going to go with the theory that Fred is just really upset that we claim we know the guy, but we haven't talked. He's mad that we haven't maintained a friendship for the last 10 years, and he's hurt that a friendship wasn't maintained for a decade.
Like, anyone can even know that.
Yeah,
you're gonna buy that.
It's sort of like the update your database.
Yes,
I think Fred is kind of saying the same thing, but more aggressively.
Yeah, he's basically saying fix your stuff,
your database.
Fix your stuff.
Enough of this. Fix your stuff. Nothing. My stuff never needed fixing. And by the way, all you other smartasses saying you can just shut up too. It's becoming like, okay, second down and nine.
Drew's mad.
Salutation.
You leave the species, and now you're mad at everyone in it.
I need to remember that I'm out.
I'm out.
Okay, second down and nine.
Completely out. Fix your stuff. Apparently, Brandon isn't the only one nailing the trifectas and locks of the week. Gabara, Stacy, Anthony, Jessica, all the hottest sales staff in Oakland County are bursting in on Brandon's territory. Zod Ford and Holly's offering their lock of the month for a short time with a never before seen trifecta that will more than double your paycheck. Part one. Look at how we're weaving all our advertisers together. What's it? The brilliance. Oh, my God. This is Radio Hall of Fame worthy.
Oh, yeah. Just cobbling it together.
They're not so participatory.
Part one, get 0% financing up to 72 months on your next new Ford. 72 months? Is that a lot of people do that?
Oh, I don't know.
72 months?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Last time I knew somebody
lower price.
That got 72 months, it was all about that. Not that what the car cost, but the payment's only blank. And it's but it's for 72 months. But I guess a lot of people do it.
How long is that? That's
6 years?
6 years?
I mean, you spend a certain amount of money on your car every month. Yeah. If the payment's really low, I mean, that does make it easier for some people.
And for that length of time, isn't all the repair free then?
I don't know. No. Call Zot.
No.
Oh, no.
Because you're leasing. You have to keep your car up for those 6 years, remember? Okay. But that's not part of the trifecta.
Oh, okay.
Part two, on top of the 0% loan, you will make no payment on your new Ford for 3 months. Even if you try to pay, they will not take it. Finally, the lock of all locks. In addition to 0% financing and no payment for 90 days, Zot Ford will line your pockets with up to $7,000 in cash. Yes, up to $7,000 in cash.
No way.
They will give you as much as $7,000 when you buy or lease a new Ford. Take that cash, purchase your loved ones, gifts for the holidays, go pay bills, take your family on a dream vacation of a lifetime, get psychiatric treatment for Steve Gabara. He's gone mad. Your choice. Pick up the phone, call Anthony directly to activate your lock trifecta of the month with 0% financing, no payment until after the holidays, and $7,000 in cash in your pocket. Wow.
You can make that much money in 5 seconds.
I hope someone, just at least one person, calls Anthony and says, I want to activate my lock trifecta of the month.
I'm going to do it.
Please, someone do it. 248-215-5151 is the magic number. 248-215-5151. Call Anthony now before Brandon tries to kibosh Zot Ford's ultimate lock.
Oh, my God, no way.
And there is a little jealousy. I see Brandon getting moving away from the microphone.
Oh, my bit. That's
almost it. Like the fix your stuff moment.
It's all right.
Dr. Yaldo's been with us a couple years, helping all these people out with custom cats LASIK, the most precise in the world, or lens exchange for people 45 plus who can't stand their reading glasses. He's number one in Michigan for eye surgery because he's done over 30,000 LASIK, tens of thousands of lens exchange and cataract procedures. And Dr. Yaldo doesn't lure you in with promises of low-cost LASIK. There's a lot of noise about low-priced LASIK, but here's what you do. If you have shopped for it, you think you have got a great deal, take it to Dr. Yaldo. He promises Drew and Mike listeners he'll beat any LASIK offer you get. Get the best, pay the least. The evaluation is free. 800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES, or go to yelloweyecenter.com. And I shouldn't even need to mention Luke Nowacki because I already pointed out what a great guy he is. God, he was trying to, He was offering to help if that person took that Zot job. He wanted to use some of his time to help him. What a team player. Wow.
Great guy.
He helped Trudy with her health insurance.
I can't. He was so great.
He was J.P. Cush before J.P. Cush.
I know.
He's also a great person.
He didn't have the ping pong. Guy. Didn't have the ping pong ball, but he had a lot of other stuff. He cuts through the crap. And if your retirement is looking like crap, maybe you want to cut through that and see what you can do now to make the future a little brighter. Or, you know, if you've got the kids and you know you should be doing something to help them with college so they don't run around like Brandon and all these millennials who just can't possibly make it work, maybe you want to help them with college with a 529. Or you want to look at your 401k and make sure your investment options are good. The market is it still at the all-time high?
You know what? I haven't looked today.
Check.
I would be surprised if it wasn't. Yeah, I'll check.
I don't know if it went up today, but it was at its all-time high yesterday. And those are heady times for investing. You need to be thinking about it and looking at it instead of just one day going, oh, my God.
It's pretty flat today, so yeah.
Okay, so it didn't go up?
The S&P did. Dow was exactly flat.
Was the S&P at an all-time high? It was.
I think they both were.
Okay, so the S&P has a new all-time high. Call Luke Nowacki and talk about a financial plan, 248-663-4748. And Security Investment Advisory Services off the Reliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC, Reliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned other entities under marketing names, product services, reference here, independent of Reliance Associates Incorporated. You can email Luke Nowacki at lnowacki@pinnaclewealthstrategies.com or call 248-663-4748.
Oh, I love that person.
All right. So,
welcome back from commercials.
Channel 7 had a tweet, by the way.
Yeah.
We got to see their story at 6. Maybe they're going to do it here. But see anything odd in this picture? People asking if the white stuff on a plate seen in this real estate listing at a home for sale in Oak Park is a joke. It looks like lines of Coke on a plate. Can you see this picture, Trudy?
Oh, I was looking up at the screen up there.
Trudy wouldn't know what
that looks
like
a total joke, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, would you leave that in a Zillow? Come on. It's almost too obvious.
I can't see it well enough because the plate's on a marble.
It's almost
is it really
too
easy
obvious.
To see?
Yeah. Oh yeah. From
do you have to
here.
Blow it up even?
No.
Oh really? Oh.
Oh, they're doing the story right now.
I can't see real good.
Oh my God, you're right. When you look at it straight on, we were looking at it from
let
an
me,
angle.
Let me back this up.
Wow. Not that I would know it.
It seems like a joke.
It's got to be a joke, right?
Well, let's see what they do with it.
Probable cause for a search warrant, and as for it being a potential publicity stunt.
I wouldn't recommend anybody staging something like that to try to gain interest in, you know, in purchasing a home or any piece of property.
I asked Jeff if this was the kind of attention he wanted. He said yes and no. He says it's gotten way out of hand, but he says he's also gotten about 100 calls, texts, and emails, many from realtors who told him to take down the picture and then offered their services at a discounted rate to sell
couldn't
the house.
Get off the phone with them either, though.
If the house is sold by this weekend, I'm going to say I did a good job.
Jeff claims he's the one who took down the picture yesterday, but I did reach out to Zillow, and they tell me they took down the picture
what?
For violating their good neighbor's policy. You can read their full statement on
WXYZ.com.
In Oak Park,
selling it is a good neighbor policy because he's moving in someone.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yeah.
He's moving in someone that won't leave plates with that sort of thing on it.
What's the problem?
My Carolyn Clifford looks good.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, she looks really good tonight. I don't know why. I mean, you get used to. Did she change something? Something
no,
different about Carolyn?
As beautiful as ever.
I was going to tell Brandon not to let me get out of here without discussing Amy Robach.
Oh, she's not on today.
Oh, she isn't?
She was not on this morning.
Yeah. Oh, well, she ran in the New York Marathon, possibly.
I think someone killed her with no evidence.
I have to say, you know, I came down here, and I want to repeat this conversation only because it was long. Because I was watching Good Morning America hours after it aired, just because, you know, was there a big story I didn't see this morning or something? And of course, they come out with a bombshell about this guy's testimony in the impeachment hearings. And I was, you know, in my brain, I was saying, you know, is it really a bombshell? I mean, the letter's the letter. Are we going to, we're going to go on parsing people and, you know, this is this and no, this isn't this. And, you know, it's going to go on and on and on. And then I don't know what's going to happen. But anyway, I just was annoyed by the term bombshell because I kept watching. First of all, I guess it's a bombshell if you're following all the details of this. As you guys thought it was a bombshell. I really didn't. because I'm.
Well, but we also said we thought Bombshell was very clickbaity-ish.
Yeah,
That's what GMA does best.
Well, every single one of them are all trying to scream that they've got the Bombshell.
Well,
so,
the reason it made me mad though was because I felt there was a Bombshell at ABC, and that's the fact that Amy Robach was caught on a hot mic, very angry about her Jeffrey Epstein story, the fact that she had interviewed one of the worst, I mean, the most horrific victimized people, Virginia Jeffrey, and she covered, as she said, Clinton, and, you know, all the big talking points in the story back in 2015, and they squashed it. And here's what the Bombshell to me is today. First of all, the story was a Bombshell. It was, everybody was talking about this yesterday. Yeah. I mean, it was one of those things.
Big
if,
story.
If you know the story or you're interested in it, you're going to be talking about it. It was huge, especially if people have conspiratorial bents at all about Epstein, which I think more than a few people have.
Or about the media.
With good reason. But today, she says, and they didn't cover this on Good Morning America, unless I missed it.
I didn't see it.
They said that, first of all, she said, oh, I was caught in a private, frustrated moment, but, you know, it just wasn't ready for air. We didn't have the sourcing that we needed to air the story. And ABC came out and said the same thing and said, oh, we've got a full podcast coming up. And of course, we worked this story like crazy.
Sounds like you're straining to do some explaining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, you got a podcast 4 years later? And, you know, I'll do it again. I'll compare this to Michigan State, only because in Michigan State's case, and this is not to let Michigan State off the hook at all, people were bamboozled by Larry Nassar. As it's interesting, you know, when you look at Penn State, Michigan State, and there's a few stories like this, the victims act very strangely. You know, they'll be friends with someone who does this sort of thing. You know, that they might suggest that Larry Nassar was a great person who helped their career. Meanwhile, he's doing these horrific things to them, and it's very complicated. But I find that when it comes to the people who are supposed to do something, like Lou Simon, and trust me, I'm not trying to say these people shouldn't have done better, but it's always simple. They should just report it. End of story. They should do something. Well, this guy, Larry Nassar, like most people in his category, he's a master manipulator. He manipulated two police agencies. Two police agencies. He put on dog and pony shows, and they said, nothing here. Now, the only reason I bring them up is because compared to ABC, where Amy Robach presented something about a guy who'd already gone to jail, got a sweetheart deal, but it was known that he had molested many, many, many underage girls. He was known for this anyway, and he spins out of that and somehow resurrects himself in New York society, and people like George Stephanopoulos are going to dinner at his home to celebrate Prince Andrew, of all people, who was also mentioned in Amy Robach's story. And ABC, they weren't bamboozled by Jeffrey Epstein. They didn't want to lose the Will and Kate interviews. I mean, and I'm not saying...
I think there's a difference, though. Like, ABC didn't employ Epstein.
No, they didn't.
Epstein didn't use ABC to do what he did, where Sandusky and Nassar did use the facilities of Penn State and Michigan State.
They did, but as far as doing the right thing,
people do the wrong thing. NBC did the wrong thing by burying a lot of the Lauer stuff.
ABC's job is they would have you believe
the wrong thing all the time.
That they are bringing down the worst people all the time whenever they can. But the fact of the matter is they wanted the ratings that they felt a Will or Kate interview would bring them. And I'm not saying they would have brought down Jeffrey Epstein, but they squashed a story that was good, and all this baloney about, oh, the sourcing wasn't good enough. You know, it's just like Ronan Farrow. Oh, his story wasn't good enough. Oh, gee, look what it did in the New Yorker.
Yeah.
Seems like it was good enough there.
I constantly choose money over morals all the time.
And the world quaked. I mean, that set off an earthquake in the world, what happened at the New Yorker with Ronan Farrow. And before that,
the woman who works at the Miami Herald.
Miami Herald.
Julie Brown.
Well, she came along in 2018. Amy Robach's in 2015.
Oh, that's true.
This is Virginia Jeffrey. giving the first interview she's ever done.
Yeah.
And they had to go to great lengths. You know, this is a really important story. We want to get you on the record, you know, using your name, because she didn't want to use her name. She wanted to be hidden. And she finally said, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to disguise myself. You can use my name. I'm going to tell you the whole story. And she does it. And then they say, no, I don't think so. Not because, well, they would have you believe, too, that Jeffrey Epstein. Pfft, who knows Jeffrey Epstein? Mm-hmm. Bullshit. I mean, honestly, to hear the bullshit surrounding why this didn't air, and out of Amy Robach, too, which is even more distressing than Amy Robach. And I realize it's her job, and she wants to stay at the network, but, oh, please, just say nothing. Just don't say anything.
I still feel that the majority of the Epstein anger should be at the Alex Acostas, the people that the government who could have put him behind bars and gotten him, really nailed him.
Which, by the way.
And what was that, 02?
Has anyone, yeah, it was 05, 07 was when the when he went to jail. He went to jail in 09. But, yeah, it was going on then. And Alex Acosta.
I feel like that keeps getting forgotten now.
That story, see, you know, that's another story. It's like, I'm waiting for Julie K. Brown to explain to me whose foot stepped on that, you know, because locally they had a grand jury. They had how many pages? 400 pages? They had multiple dozens of indictments. And then all of a sudden, Alex Acosta comes in and says, nah, you know what you're doing. We got it. Yeah, your witnesses suck, and you know, we'll just get them on this one count. And
but you never hear about that anymore. All you hear about because, is this ABC thing, or that Epstein was murdered. And, you know, you don't. Nothing goes back to the original problem.
That's why. That's one of the reasons this story is so fascinating, and why I'm livid that it's just sitting on its ass right now. Because who is going to, you know, Alex Acosta actually had the audacity to have a press conference and explain to us dumb people.
It worked really well.
He resigned the next day.
Well done.
Because, and while he was talking, I was thinking to myself, God, I sure would like to hear the prosecutor, you know, who he took this away from, because he's throwing him under the bus like he didn't have shit. And of course, as soon as Alex Acosta is done, it's being reported that Alex Acosta says blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that didn't work out well, did it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
That's him leaving this podium.
Of course, all the appropriate corrections were issued the next day by the state that no, this isn't what happened. And we went to all this trouble. We had a grand jury. We had dozens of indictments, and we had the whole thing.
And all the police work, too.
Oh, the police work. Yeah, the police down there were livid. And Epstein owned the police, too. He'd spent tons of money on the police. And when you dig into this story further, this just gets worse and worse and worse. Let's see. I actually sent myself a text message.
But now the big conspiracy is that George Stephanopoulos had it buried. Because he's friends with the Clintons.
Well, that's what is suggested. Yeah. Now, they don't, you know, it's interesting. I expect that real soon we'll be hearing people say, but that story's been investigated. There's nothing there. I mean, that's what they always like to say.
Which
when
story?
It's the right person. Well, George Stephanopoulos. He says, no, I ain't gonna do it. I'm not even friends with the Clintons. Well, we don't know.
You think he had it buried?
No, I don't know.
Oh.
But it's interesting how. Because I read this story a few times this morning, and it's one of those. George Stephanopoulos said that he wasn't involved in it at all, and it's interesting how we just take George Stephanopoulos' word for it.
Well, we're taking Amy Robach, who was caught on tape saying.
Well,
the
she
real
didn't.
Reason.
She didn't say anything about George Stephanopoulos.
No, I know. She seemed to think the reason was their boss, who has British citizenship, was burying it for the royals.
Which
seems. Very likely.
Anybody who buries an Epstein story, you have to wonder what they're protecting or who they're protecting they got something crazy going on and shady going on.
Do you think George Stephanopoulos would have the power to get something? I mean, I'm asking
I don't know.
Is he worth enough to the...
He's the head anchor.
He looks like he has no power.
I know.
He certainly has some power in that arena. But when you say anybody.
Does he do Meet the Press too? Or
that's
NBC
the main guy in that world.
Yeah.
But when you say anybody, there's so many people who buried this story and did it intentionally. Mm-hmm. And
he would call them though.
Oh yeah. No, he
Epstein would call and threaten and
You know, Vanity Fair is the first place we can go where where this Vicki Ward, who's pregnant and is working her ass off on the story, because it's been discovered that Bill Clinton's flying around on this guy's private jet. Who is this guy? Well, first it was Ron Burkle. And that Ron Burkle story, I don't think Ron Burkle's a name a lot of people know. No. But Ron Burkle is a big, big, rich guy.
I think he has an investment company with Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, Ron Burkle does?
Pretty sure.
He has a lot of things.
What?
I know.
He's really, really rich.
Yeah, $1.6 billion.
And he's got a really nice private jet, and Bill Clinton flew on it a lot. And Ron Burkle also likes very young girls. In fact, his girlfriend, when I'm trying to think who did the story because I can't remember. And honestly, it's not a story many people did. It was real quiet about Clinton flying to some event with Ron Burkle and his 19-year-old girlfriend, I think some of her girlfriends, and it was like, oh boy, this is really not cool. But, I mean, did you really hear Ron Burkle's name much? I mean, that wasn't really a heavily reported story. But when Jeffrey Epstein starts flying with Clinton to Africa with Kevin Spacey and Chris Tucker. You know, which is so weird.
These things is not like the other.
Or is it?
I don't know. But that created great interest in who is this guy?
Right.
Why is the former president, the most recent president, because Bush is president at the time, why is he on Jeffrey Epstein's jet all the time? And the Clintons, the Clinton Foundation tried to say that, oh, George Stephanopoulos, by the way, donated $75,000 to the Clinton Foundation. Yeah. I bet very few people knew that until today, because that came out of this story.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I guess that's kind of a sticky point at ABC News. Like there weren't a lot of comments about it, but it was determined that it was an unpleasant fact of life at ABC.
It's not
that
very ethical, is it? When
fuck
you're
no.
the anchor
no.
of
no.
a air quotes
it,
news.
It always seems like a conflict when he covers the politics. The politics.
Well, the Clinton Foundation. Look at all the people who've given money to the Clinton Foundation.
He probably rationalizes that Clinton is not president anymore, so it doesn't matter.
But
and she isn't.
Do you know how many people tried to say, and I noticed this today, that, oh, George Stephanopoulos, hey, he's not even involved with the Clintons. Well, he gave $75,000 to the Clinton Foundation since that book that they excised him from their lives over, so there's some relationship there. But anyway, I'm not trying to be a conspiratorial person here, but going back to Vanity Fair, Jeffrey Epstein, when Vicki Ward started doing this story, where did this guy get any money? Who is this guy? The president's flying around. I mean, that's pretty fascinating, isn't it? And Vicki Ward finds out that, oh, this guy's, boy, there's a lot to know about this guy. He sure likes young girls. That was one of the first things she found out, because you can't not find it out about Jeffrey Epstein. And he immediately
starts, this isn't about pussy. Was that his line?
What's who line? Cares? There's nothing to do with pussy or something like that. Yeah,
he's in his house, and there are pictures of girls all over the place.
That's his second down and nine.
Yeah, it is. It's when the science talk gets a little too deep for Jeff. So, first of all, she finds out that his financial, you know, this billionaire status, this I invest for billionaires only, is bullshit, and it's really kind of strange, and gee, where did all this money come from? And then second of all, that yeah, there's all these younger girls, and he senses that she's wading into that territory, and he even aggressively suggests, well, what are you going to say about my love life? And so what he starts doing is, first of all, he shows up at Vanity Fair to meet her editor, Graydon Carter, who's a well-respected person. And Graydon Carter, what do you know, he finds a spent bullet shell in an envelope is sent to him at Vanity Fair. Then a cat's head on his porch.
Yeah.
And it's quite obvious to him that this has to do with Jeffrey Epstein. And Epstein says, you better not be reporting anything about, and he's talking about his choice of women.
Right.
He likes
any
young
scandal.
Women.
She also got friendly calls from Jeff saying stuff like your children or, you know, like.
Oh, referencing her family. Yeah.
And stuff like that. And she was pregnant and she feels like, didn't she have like I think she had almost not a miscarriage, but her kids were premature or something like that. She feels like it really affected her.
Oh yeah, she was freaked. She was completely freaked out.
Yeah.
And she felt that he was threatening her.
Right.
And Graydon Carter was very. There's no question he was threatened by this guy, and this is his MO. This is how it works.
Yeah.
And so these are the kind of people that usually. I don't know who else may have put their footprint on this story, but usually those are the kind of people that they say, fuck you, man. I'm a journalist. I'm an investigative reporter, and I don't give a fuck. That's bullshit, and I'm going to report on this because Vicki Ward gets in touch with these two sisters named Farmer who both were molested by Jeffrey Epstein, one who was flown to New Mexico, and I don't even want to go through the story because it's just so gross
imprisoned,
and horrible. Yeah, she was basically imprisoned. And the sister was getting the same thing. She was a year older, I believe. She might have been 17, and I think the other one was 15 or 16. I can't even remember the connection exactly. She gets both of them on the record. And she has more to say in the story. And after the cat's head and the bullet shell and I don't know what else, Graydon Carter says, you know what, the sourcing on this, we're just going to leave that out of the story. And she is completely crestfallen. She feels it's complete bullshit, much like Amy Robach. She was like, I got this story. I nailed it down. I got them. I'm using their names. They've agreed to use their names. This thing is good to go. But Graydon Carter says, nah, I don't think so. And one of the other weird things about the story is that Graydon Carter said, was it Graydon Carter? I might be mixing up my stories here. I could find it. Oh, God, it's such a long
story. At the
time,
wasn't it for them all easier to just go, maybe this isn't worth going through all of this? What if, you know, I mean, he is doing a lot of, he has a lot of powerful people he can pull
things.
I think these are people who report on presidents.
I know, but.
You know, this reminds
me. He's a monster, too.
You know what it reminds me of?
Just let that go.
Remember, who's Newsweek's best reporter?
Michael
Isikoff, who acknowledged that he had the Lewinsky story.
Yep.
He had Linda Tripp. He had it all.
Newsweek buried
and
it.
Newsweek said, do we want to bring down the president?
Yeah.
And I swear, when I was watching, I was like, wait a second. First of all, why have I never heard this before? And second of all, are you kidding? Really?
This is the problem when they don't go forward with it, is that it eventually comes out that they buried it. So look how bad Vanity Fair looks now.
Yeah.
Look how bad Newsweek looks.
We didn't know that till a long time
still,
later.
But it hurts their credibility.
But you also have to say, you know, when they say, do we want to bring down the president? Do they mean, do we want to bring down this president? Would they have the same problem if it was George Bush? Would they have had, I mean, really? I don't know. You got to wonder.
Well, those days are over now anyway because of the internet. Because someone else will report it. And that's what happened.
It depends.
Drudge reported it.
Drudge did. But, you know, Michael Isikoff's one of the best reporters out there. I mean, he had the scoop of the century, and they shut it down. But that's not really related to Epstein, except it's similar in a way. It's, you know what? Let's just let this one go because he's... The whole interest in Jeffrey Epstein was his connection to Bill Clinton. And I can't help thinking that the fact that he likes underage girls, doesn't that put a stain on Bill Clinton? Isn't that the whole story? Bill Clinton hangs around with. And by the way, all these people from Bill Clinton to Prince Andrew to, I mean, you can get the list is a mile long. Oh, I had no idea. Jean-Luc, the guy that was providing the models for him. You know, oh my God, I had no idea. And a lot of people just accept that. Oh, you know, I didn't know anything. You know, it's just like Harvey Weinstein when all the people say, I had no idea. And it's bullshit.
Yeah, people
you knew what the fuck was going on. These are the same people screaming about other people and how they should be put away or this should be done or that should be done. But when it's right in their face, it's like, And so they nix it, and Vicki Ward is completely crestfallen, and what happens is Epstein gets this sweetheart deal years later, and by the way, hundreds of girls are molested in the meantime,
right.
we could have had the two Farmer Sisters on the record in 2001. And don't you think that might have opened some doors or gotten some interest or something? Yeah. But no, he's allowed to go on his merry way.
Not only is he getting the sweetheart deal, but he's assaulting girls while he's getting the sweetheart deal.
He sure is. And you know,
so in everyone's face.
I so want to say, I'll find the story. I so want to say it was Graydon Carter that Epstein actually said something, except this was after he got in trouble. Who else could it have been?
What was it he said?
I'm just trying to think of a journalist he talked to. He said that, you know, in other cultures, being with a 15-year-old girl is no big deal. Oh, and there was a time when it was okay in this country, too. And he was really suggesting, you know, as a lot of child molesters feel, that they're ahead of their time and what they're doing, you know, the Man Boy Love Association, that's their whole thing is, hey, if a 15-year-old boy wants to have sex with me, a 40-year-old man, there's nothing wrong with that. It's consensual.
It's the most natural thing in the world.
It's about getting your rocks off. You're both getting your rocks off, just like Gacy says, right?
It's like Michael Jackson said. It's the most natural thing in the world.
It's not a love affair. The object is that you're both getting your rocks off.
Wow.
What a drop. What a perfectly placed drop. So,
isn't that weird that all pedophiles have that argument too? That
they think it's this is normal. Everybody loves this. Everybody's having a good time. Ran in the parade. Brandon, you're kind of quiet for the Epstein conversation. I have more too.
He only cares if it's about his murder.
I'm kind of scared to talk about it because yesterday I came in prior to this show and I started talking about Amy Robach's video and. And, you know, some of the conspiracies out there and the memes. And, oh, boy, did Mark jump all over me.
I didn't.
Are you okay?
It was the angriest I'd ever seen.
Okay. Are you okay?
I had never seen him so angry.
I'll tell you exactly. This is all he said. I said, what evidence is there that he was murdered?
Well, ouch. Man.
Yeah.
Well,
No one has provided any evidence that he was murdered.
Can we at least agree that there seems to be a dearth of information on this story in general? Because, and let me just go here before you answer that, if you want
to answer it. No leakers.
Do you know who John Domenic is?
Yes. Have you seen the documentary?
Ivan the Terrible? Yes, I have. I watched it.
I'm only through the first episode.
Wait, there's a documentary?
Domenic? It's funny. I thought about you, Trudy.
Really?
I knew you were involved. I don't know what involved means, but I knew that you were around that area.
Yeah.
So you always knew about John.
Yeah.
I just like saying his last name.
In Youngstown?
He's the auto worker.
Cleveland.
In
Cleveland. Yeah. Cleveland Rocks.
Who they believe was Ivan the Terrible at Treblinka.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, at this concentration camp.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest thing about the documentary is that they bring a lot of photos out of the Holocaust.
Yeah, it's awful.
And it's so hard to look at those pictures, and the story's so horrible.
They talk about all the bad things he in particular did.
Oh, yeah, he was personally.
He would cut off boobs?
Yeah, before women were gassed. He'd cut their boobs off. I know, it's just...
Why? I mean, I don't understand the whole thing anyway, but...
Because he
why
had...
that?
He's a sadist.
Green light to be a sadist, yeah.
He was a sick, completely sick person.
Why would you ruin
he's
boobs?
He's mad. And then he's living in boobs? Cleveland, Ohio on the down low.
He's just an auto worker, and he's got two kids, and he's a loving father.
Gotta admit.
And a grandfather.
Gotta admit.
He's a brutal man.
Great reinvention, though, of his own life.
Oh, it looks real.
You know, and I remember having an argument with someone at the time who was just like, well, he's old now. You should just let him go. Oh, give him a pass. I'm like,
a lot of people felt that way in the documentary.
A lot of sputtering.
Fuck that.
Well,
fuck that, for sure.
It's funny how this thing started to look political to me, and I thought, this isn't political. This is a guy. He's at a concentration camp, and he's either the guy or he's not the guy. And you know, eyewitnesses who were there who survived miraculously, they may have lost their entire family, but they somehow survived. They looked him in the eye and said, that's him. I'd never forget that face ever, 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 ever. Mm-hmm. And of course, you want to believe those people. And they seemed extremely sincere. However, you know, when you get a good defense team and he could not find a lawyer in Israel to defend him because he was extradited out of the U.S. to Israel. And in Jerusalem.
To be prosecuted.
I have to tell you, there was a really weird part of this documentary where He just has arrived in Jerusalem, and they, like, sit him right down to be questioned. Yeah. I mean, he's barely off the plane.
Yeah. Well, why and, should they give him the velvet glove treatment?
No, they didn't. It was totally fuck him, yeah. And it was always fuck him.
Hey, get out of here!
Until a little later. Oh. But he actually says, you know, as the investigator's about to address him, he says, "Shalom." Oh. There's a video of it. And it's so weird. It almost seems like, in your face, shalom. Yeah. And he does the same thing when this survivor who's describing the atrocities he witnessed, they said, well, do you want to, you know, identify him and walk up a little closer and take a good look? And he walks up to him, uh-huh. And he's looking at him, and you can tell he's just absolutely terrified. And John Domenic, I call him Johnny D. I think if they'd called him Johnny D, he could have done better. Doesn't that sound like
it's all branding?
Harmless name? I mean, it would have been better branding. But Johnny D.
It'd be off brand for him, but it'd be better branding.
He puts his hand out like, hey, put it here, buddy.
Oh, my God.
That's what Johnny D would do, not Ivan the Terrible. Kind of brilliant.
It was Johnny D esque. And this guy's like, fuck you, I'm not shaking your hand. But anyway.
Because you know if he went to shake his hand, Johnny D would go, too slow. Because that's the kind of asshole he is.
His last act.
As they're going...
good one.
As they're going through his atrocities, though, and he's there with headphones on because it's being translated,
yeah.
And he's listening to this, and people are crying in the courtroom. He's stone face. Mm-hmm. No response, no reaction, nothing.
That's when you know he's really guilty.
I thought it was very... strange, but there was a lot of evidence. They convicted him. He was to hang, and then the Berlin Wall came down. Mm-hmm. The Soviet Union split up, and the SS's files were open. Mm-hmm. And so his attorneys got in there, and amazingly, they got all these documents that suggested that Johnny D was not Ivan the Terrible.
What?
And absolutely convincing documents. And now whether those documents mean anything, these people identified him. I mean, it was 45 years later. I mean, it was a long time.
It's a Jackson.
And he was a good father and lived in Cleveland and he had a nice house and he had a beautiful garden full of flowers that he tended to. So I know. It's so weird. Flowers. It's so weird.
Except he... helped murder a bunch of people.
And torture people.
It is really interesting, though, because he was a Soviet, right?
He was from Ukraine.
Yeah, which is a Soviet. He was in the Soviet Army, uh-huh. And then he ended up becoming a Nazi and in the German Army. So that's the whole political angle that his lawyer uses. Like, look, the Soviets are the one. They're just trying to fuck with him now and split up the Soviets and the Jews that are a real tight community in America by outing this guy. I don't know. It's really complex. That part's really complex, but terribly fascinating.
When he's convicted and he's supposed to hang, you know, his family is behind him from day one and they never stop. And they're over there for the trial. And I mean, they don't have a nickel to their name because their whole life is devoted to, you know, helping grandpa, providing support for him and working on his case and helping his attorneys and anything he can do. So, his son-in-law goes on, probably lives here or lives in Cleveland. He goes on a international tour raising money for him for his defense. And they start getting money from like the Estonian community who there may be a few people who ended up at Treblinka or, you know, a couple of those places. And they're thinking, it could have been me or it could have been dad or it could have been uncle, you know, uncle whatever. And
like
so
that could have been me.
There's also, you know, I can't remember because I was watching this and I was kind of sleepy, but there were some really donors who should not have been allowed to donate to Johnny D.
Oh, because like, maybe some
anti-Semitic money was coming in. Geez. It was just so bizarre. I'm like, this is, you know, 1990s. I'm thinking this just seems like something that would happen now, but not before now. But it happened. And in, you know, Ukrainian communities and Estonian and places like that, money starts pouring in. And so, you know, they're able to get this SS information. And I hope I'm not boring everybody to tears.
It's a great documentary.
It was really good.
Plus, it opens with a drone shot over Cleveland. Like, all good documentaries open with drone shots.
Everything on the ID channel has a great overhead drone shot. And I still go, oh, I love this drone shot. I always do that. No matter how shitty the neighborhood is, it's a drone shot.
Find me a Netflix documentary that's good that doesn't open with a drone shot.
It's a requirement. It has to. I won't watch it if it doesn't have a good drone shot. But...
Ken Burns probably hates drones.
So the funniest part of the story is, well, this isn't really funny. Yeah, there's a funny part. Okay. Jerusalem, and if you want to watch it, fast forward right now. Fast forward about 3 minutes. In Jerusalem,
set the timer, Brandon.
They overturned the verdict. There's too much doubt. And can you imagine how hard that was for those judges? Oh, I mean, yeah. Oh my God, how difficult. So he ends up back in Cleveland. He's back in Cleveland being grandpa and dad and, you know, doing his thing and the happy, wonderful husband.
Did he get
a
pension from Ford?
Oh, he worked for Ford?
No. Yeah, he worked for Ford. Oh, yeah, great Ford employee, as all the Ukrainians were. And they were all great. They just went to work. They never said a word. They went home. They were wonderful employees. Ford loved them. And they loved Ford.
Cleveland! That's him getting back to Cleveland.
Then they determined that, you know what? He's one of the guards. He may not be Ivan the Terrible, but he was there, and he's a bastard, and he must be put down. So they're going to extradite him to Germany, and Germany's going to they're going to try him. And so they're extraditing him, and they're taking him out of the house, and he's on this stretcher like.
Yeah, that's the famous one.
With his mouth open, like he can't even shut his mouth.
Oh, my God.
He's so out of it. He's like 89 years old, I think.
He looks like Jim Fouts just won the election.
Yeah, Jim Fouts, if he was not ready to kick someone's ass, which he's always ready to do. No, he's just completely cooked. And it's like, oh, God, how can they use this guy? And they're struggling to get his big chair out. And it's like, oh, no. And he's like, And they take him to court. And the court's like, oh, my God, because he's like, I don't know what's going on. I don't even know how to close my mouth. My eyes are shut all the time. I'm wearing a hat because there's something horrible on the top of my head. Probably some surgery that's really gross. Giant scars. It's like Planet of the Apes. Charlton Heston, Planet of the Apes. Wait, who's the guy in Planet of the Apes that got his? They took his brain out?
Oh,
Well, Heston was the star.
No, it wasn't Heston. It's the other guy. The other astronaut. Was it the astronaut? Didn't they take his brain out? And he had the giant scar. And John's like, oh, my God. God, help us.
Heston.
What's he called him? He's like, you animals.
Charlton Heston, never an under actor.
But, you know.
Damn dirty ape.
Something horrible going on under that hat. And so then it turns out they actually followed him and filmed him running errands like the day before.
All an act.
Yeah,
it really wore him out, though.
Walking into the hardware store, getting back in the car, you know, rapping with a wife. Blah, blah, blah.
Volks and marching.
He was faking. It was a big act.
It's just like that serial killer in San Francisco they found.
Golden State Killer. Yeah, he can't walk now.
He's just GSK.
He needs to be wheeled around. He's like, when we know.
Is he wearing something on his head, too?
Every day he was going to that restaurant with that badass waitress. So.
We talked to,
Liar.
So.
Here's a picture, by the way.
He just looks tired.
Why does everybody in that condition need a blanket in their lap?
I know.
What's that blanket doing?
There's some rule, too, that when you're faking, the open mouth is huge. And if you can drool, all the better. You know, and don't ever move your arms. Just make that sound. It helps. But here's where you get interested, Brandon.
Okay,
so he's in jail. He's in solitary in Jerusalem. And
it's back in Jerusalem?
It looks... Well, no, back before.
Oh, right.
Back
when he was there.
And they're pointing out, you know, that this guy, we're going to get this guy. This is the most important prisoner, like someone we've talked about on the show, Jeffrey Epstein. And guess what? The guards sleep. They actually construct an area where they can sleep right across from him. Oh. So they never take their eyes off him.
But they sleep.
They have cameras pointed at him. I think they said 15 cameras.
Where's this at?
But I'm sure they all
broke. His jail, his solitary in Jerusalem.
Oh, okay. So it's not the States.
No. And not that we care about important prisoners either, I mean. So they've got cameras pointed at him. The lights never go out. Hmm. It's never dark in his cell because they always want to have a good look at what he's doing.
Sure.
So I thought that's what I thought. I didn't think they had 15 cameras on Jeffrey Epstein. I didn't think they'd construct an area where people could sleep across from him. But I certainly never dreamed that they would just have some half-ass guard who's not even qualified to be a guard working with some other part-time guard. Mm-hmm. And they would just crash and go, hey, yeah, we went by. And there was nothing going on. And then later only to admit that actually we were both asleep and we didn't check on him for hours. And totally the camera doesn't work. It's crazy.
And we took out his roommate just a couple hours prior. And we took him off suicide watch. And our cameras are broken.
Which is why he was able to commit suicide.
Mm. Convenient.
Because his roommate was gone. So, now's the time for me to commit suicide.
Yeah, I'm not the whole suicide thing as far as, he attempts suicide 3 weeks earlier, and he's already off suicide watch. I don't buy that for a second. If they really believed he attempted suicide 3 weeks earlier, there's no way a prisoner that important would be left to his own devices in such a haphazard way. I don't believe it. I just don't.
I don't.
It just seems.
I don't.
I believe totally anything enough. Involving the U.S. government can have extreme incompetence.
Well, that's the thing. Everybody thinks the government's incompetent until it comes to guarding a very important guy.
It's not hard to guard an important guy, though. He's in a fucking cage.
That whole corrections facility was a disaster. It's had nothing but problems the last 2 years.
If that place is so half-assed, first of all, I don't know why.
So the government pulled out the perfect, or somebody pulled off the perfect murder?
I don't know what happened.
Allowed him to, which is another part of a conspiracy in itself.
There's still a few things that bother me beyond this. Why is the word just transferred? And he's got a good gig somewhere.
Good union.
Good union? Well, why don't we know his name, by the way? Who is he? What's his name?
Name nobody can pronounce when you Google it. It's some guy in Africa.
Since when would someone being in a good union prevent the media from finding all this shit out? And I'm not saying there's a media conspiracy, but this guy, I've said it a million times. His face should have been on the cover of every website, every newspaper, and the two half-ass guards, you'd think you'd be hearing from them. I would think they'd be on GMA crying like Jesse Smollett.
They didn't even allow investigators to interview him.
Well, so investigators are not allowed to interview them ever.
No, the union said, nope, you don't have to talk to them.
So...
Wait, what? The police did not?
They wanted to talk to him immediately, and the union's like, well, let's hold off on that.
So they don't have lawyers. They don't have to deal with incompetence with the most important prisoner in the history of the United States.
The most important prisoner in the history of the United States? You're not over that's a little hyperbole.
I don't know if he's more important than Jack Ruby, but he's important. Important.
He did have a way of...
He's connected to two presidents.
...of keeping culpability from happening to him, and he was negotiating with his lawyers a whole lot before finally was found dead.
Well...
Whether of suicide or murder, maybe he arranged shit. Who knows?
Plus, we know he wanted to kill himself.
Well, that's why you have people wearing those things where they can't kill themselves, for a few days.
Yeah.
And he had a roommate, too, which is another way to prevent people, because the roommate supposedly helped him survive or pointed out that he was trying to fuck himself up. I don't know. It's hard to believe that something that incompetent would go completely unpunished, unexamined. Mm-hmm. I'm still waiting. This case is so weird. There's so many people who should be arrested, who should be charged, and I don't know what's going on.
Well, they did subpoena, a bunch of people the other day. So maybe we'll learn more.
I'd rather they get it right than go
have a cup
fast.
Of coffee.
Get it right. We're talking about 2005. They have everything. I mean, Vicky Ward has two girls. Julie K. Brown has how many girls? The case in Florida, there was a grand jury. We know there's nothing we don't know.
Who do you want charged?
Ghislaine Maxwell.
Okay.
Jean-Luc.
Jean-Luc is not our jurisdiction.
All the people who called 15-year-old girls and said, "Hey, can you meet Jeffrey?"
Yeah,
after
but the
school?
Problem with that, the problem with that is a lot of them are also victims.
Prince Andrew should be charged in absentia. They should at least try to attempt to charge him. They've done nothing.
That I would like, yeah.
They've done nothing. But who knows? Maybe there's some important interview coming up with Meghan Markle.
Maybe, or Sarah Ferguson.
Maybe Thomas Markle's pulling the few strings he has. Where's Thomas Markle?
Oh. He's having Thomas a heart attack. His the other sister, the half sister, popped off today. Now she's being cyber bullied.
By who?
Oh, the royals.
Britons?
I don't know.
British. Yeah.
Because she's being mean to her half-sister.
I don't know why the Amy Robach thing, the most maddening thing to me about it was, fuck this world's most prolific child molester. We need to talk to Will and Kay. We don't want to fuck that up.
Which goes to show that that's Good Morning America is not the place for it. No. They're not a news show. They're not.
If they're doing, they do news, and it's their news division.
Honestly,
and if they have an interview with this gigantic victim of a child molester who's connected to two presidents.
2020.
It doesn't matter what show it is.
Why isn't David Muir doing it? He's supposed to be their news guy.
Amy Robach's on 2020.
Well, that's the problem. She should pick one.
Well,
2020 seems to be legit, and Good Morning America is a fluff place.
But she got the interview. Gio Benitez, all those people, they're always trying to get interviews. I mean, just because they're in a sappy show. I mean, I would not have expected Julie K. Brown to break this story wide open like she did, but she did.
Yeah, because that paper's not beholden to, they don't care to have a royal interview.
And maybe they don't have anybody in, the management as an editor or the publisher who dated 15-year-old girls with Jeffrey Epstein on his island.
I would like to, I think Vanity Fair, I really wonder exactly what happened. See, I feel like I don't know what happened in any of these places because it happens everywhere. It's just like Weinstein.
That's by design.
All these people who, I didn't know anything was going on. I mean, even in Les Moonves, too, when that first came out, it's like, well, we're going to give him, 6 weeks? They left him running the show for 6 weeks. It was like, oh, is this thing going to go away? I mean, a lot of people were wondering, is this just going to go away? And then it was like, no, this is a little much to just let this one go now that it's out.
Yeah.
I mean, people know about it, and, NBC's got the NDAs.
CBS seems to have been the best one out of all of them. They threw everyone under the bus and reorganized.
But there was a lot of stuff going on there for a long time.
Yeah.
Charlie Rose.
Charlie Rose, gross.
I know, that's so creepy. I never dreamed that guy could be such a creep.
He probably saw Fouts doing it. I was like, well, that guy can do it.
Matt Lauer, we read about him. Yeah. I mean, the tabloids were all over Matt Lauer.
What is it about power, though, that gets people? I mean, is there an insanity that sort of goes along with being powerful? All of a sudden, you just
do whatever you
realize
want.
You can molest 15-year-old girls. Yeah. And
just do whatever you want.
Anal sex with somebody without permission.
Nice.
And
usually, I think the term that always works for me is follow the money, because it seems like there's always money. Oh, the Today Show makes so much money.
Yeah.
Every decision.
Matt Lauer is the main force in the Today Show, and they make so much money.
The money.
So, every decision was a monetary decision.
Oh, for sure.
Will and Kate. Oh, Will and Kate, that interview is so important. Who cares about this guy? He's molesting hundreds of underage girls. Who gives a shit? Will and Kate, we're going to get the interview. And we did. I mean, these are people in a news division.
So not memorable.
These are very self-important people who think they change the world. I mean, it's a network news division. I'm going to get Will and Kate.
God, I could not be less interested in them.
No.
This Prince Andrew thing is just... There's been many times to hate the royals. The last time it was, they're so mean to Princess Di. But this time it's like, no, there's a fucking pedophile who's banging 16-year-olds with a friend, his buddy, who he still hangs out with after he goes to jail for banging underage girls. Although he said it was prostitution. It's like stealing a bagel. Another great Jeffrey Epstein quote.
You can't be a prostitute when you're underage. Sorry.
No,
sorry.
Exactly.
Sorry.
And he had friends who said the same thing. Alan Dershowitz used that term, too.
Oh, he's another one that forced ABC, by the way.
Alan Dershowitz. These
and he did take his undies
off. Dershowitz knows the difference, though.
What?
He knows that you can't claim that it's prostitution when there's an underage.
He was just focused on leaving his underwear on.
Isn't it ironic, too? Well, it's really not ironic. It just makes the point even more that Ken Starr ends up on Jeffrey Epstein's defense team. Jesus. Ken Starr.
Yeah.
You know, who got into all the grisly details about Bill Clinton. And I know he was a special prosecutor, and that was his job.
When was he on? His team on Epstein's team?
He was on Epstein's team for the Florida case.
2005.
Yeah, he was one of the ones, Roy Black, Ken Starr, and Alan Dershowitz. And there were other guys who were on retainer, too. Big guys.
Do you think that affected the way he dealt with things when he was president at Baylor with the sexual assaults from the football team?
Probably so, yeah. I think those guys feel there's always a way to wriggle around. And I mean, when you put sports and... You know, in sports, why the guy at Oklahoma, okay, second down and nine, why did he get a second chance? Oh. He's on video punching a girl in the face.
She hit him first.
Yeah, she hit him first. She did. Actually, she did.
It's not a defense.
So, spoiler alert. What happened to Johnny D in the end? Or have you
Johnny D.
Well, Johnny D. he's spinning tunes now.
Oh, is he?
At an oldie station.
Oh, that's cool.
In Germany.
Yeah. I'll leave awesome. Johnny D for those who want to watch the Netflix special.
It's good. It's worth watching.
What have we? Is there something we've left out today?
Yes. I want to wrap up the story of Fozzie Jarvis. Remember Fozzie Jarvis who cried about being kicked off Fortnite?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the poor guy.
And the next story
he's banned for life.
Yeah,
he's only 17. Most of his life's ahead of him.
Yep, and then his mommy was fighting his
battle. He was
going to
play Fortnite till his dying day.
His mom was very upset that everyone was being very mean to him. Well, now today, it's been revealed that YouTube video where he's crying has been seen 6 million times.
Oh,
God.
Netting him over 20,000 pounds.
He made 20,000 crying,
pounds,
saying,
yeah.
I can't stream anymore. 20 grand.
Is that not one of the worst edited clips you've ever seen?
Yeah, but you know what? These Zoomers love like quick edits. They just love edits, like things that jump.
It looks so fake, though. I thought they liked real.
No.
He's confessing to this terrible thing, and he's pouring his heart out. It's edited to all hell.
They have an attention span on average of 8 seconds.
Mark, is that
about that?
Is that what they go by, Zoomers?
Oh, it's another term, yeah.
I never heard that.
There's a great...
Well,
Gen X is coming out of their shell about the whole boomer.
No,
millennial.
Stay in there. We don't even want to hear from you anymore.
We do want to stay in there. We're just enjoying it.
It's so cool.
What are you eating, Drew?
Nothing.
You're eating cracked food.
That guy, his mother. I saw this long piece with his mother, who acknowledged that every waking moment he played Fortnite, he loved Fortnite. And I'm thinking,
you can still
if I was his mother, would I be bragging about the fact
that
he lived every waking moment to play Fortnite?
No.
He woke up and the first thing he did was play Fortnite. It was the last thing he did before bed. And every spare moment in between, he played Fortnite. And they really were suggesting that he thought he was going to play Fortnite his whole life. He thought that was his job, was to play Fortnite. And he loved it.
Really did a horseshit job of raising him.
Made a lot of money doing
so. He made a lot of money, though.
Sure, he made a lot of money.
Follow the money.
But is the game
Mom,
really...
Follow the money, Mom.
Is it really that good? I mean, it's just a shooter.
I
don't know why it's so addictive.
No, this is really dumb. And yeah, obviously, it's extremely addictive. It's obviously a great game, and I'm not knocking it at all. But it just seems that I think you'd want a little more balance to your life. Even if you were 17, you were making a lot of money. You'd want to do something else besides Fortnite. But
well,
then
you
the
were
other thing
17
is,
once. I mean, you were probably just focused on one thing.
Pong.
I like Pong. I did like Pong. I played a lot of Pong. But, I was playing baseball, and I was partying with my friends, and, you know, there were girls. And, I mean, there were a lot of reasons not to play Pong.
Maybe he's getting girls on Fortnite.
Maybe. It didn't sound like it.
Ooh, speaking of girls, that was the other big story today, that Whitney Houston's lover has broken her silence.
Oh.
Really? Did you see that story?
I didn't see that, but that documentary was really well done, I thought, because they were really letting it all hang out, that part of Whitney Houston's problem, and she obviously, you knew there was something in her head that was not going well, was that she was into women.
Yeah.
She was bisexual, at least. At least.
But yeah, she's, I guess she's writing a book, which all I can think of is, well, all anybody wants to hear is about you going down on Whitney.
Yeah.
I mean, how long is this book?
You got to provide some
crack
of that.
Is I'm, whack.
Sure, what else do you want to
hear? The publisher will insist on some of that.
If I want to hear about her going down on
I don't want to hear early stories.
Scissor me timbers.
Of her and Whitney.
Well, she was hidden. You know, she was her assistant for all that time, and her mother wanted her away from Whitney. And you know, any suggestion to her mother, Sissy Houston, right?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. That she was.
Whose
that
finest
she liked
moment,
women.
By the way, is backing up Aretha Franklin on Letterman's show.
She killed it.
I forgot about that. That was really funny.
It's still the best. Best.
She didn't know the words.
No. She didn't. She didn't care that she didn't know the words, Brandon. That was the best
she was
part.
Having a good time dancing.
This Whitney Houston girlfriend story, though, she claims that Whitney cut off all the physical contact once she signed with Clive. Like, that was the end of them being lesbians, but they could still be friends.
Well, you know, it's weird.
I want you two to kiss each other.
Oh, Clive probably took over.
You know,
and
what's really interesting about that
Svengali'd
her. Clive ends up coming out as gay himself.
He is?
Really?
Yes.
I never knew that.
Look it up. I'm not kidding.
What?
Clive is still getting it on with some dude right now.
What?
Probably.
He's at least bisexual. Is that what you're saying?
I think he's gay.
Really?
I think so. But he claims to have banged like Janis Joplin, which is almost being with a dude, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, he's bisexual. He revealed he was bisexual in his memoir. At least.
Wait. Janis Joplin? And Clive Davis? Really?
He banged her. He did. You know, isn't that weird?
Gross. Maybe that's why he likes guys
so
now. She changed him.
He can have her.
The singer broke the news that she'd signed the deal with Clive Davis and that the physical part of the relationship was over. And she broke the news by giving Crawford a gift of a slate blue Bible one day in 1982. She said we wouldn't be physical anymore because it would make our journey even more difficult. There was also pressure from Whitney's family, including her mother, gospel singer Sissy Houston. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Whitney told me her mother said it wasn't natural for two women to be that close, but we were that close. We never talked about labels like lesbian or gay. We just lived our lives. I hope to go on that way forever. Whitney knows I love her, and I know she loved me. We really meant everything to each other. We vowed to stand by each other.
Huh. Okay.
Okay. Where's the sex part?
So freaked out about this Clive Davis thing.
I know. That freaked me out completely.
Are you sure he wasn't just trying to sell his book?
I don't think so.
How old is he?
86.
So he comes out when he's 86?
Yeah, when he was 80.
When guys come flying out of the closet at 86, I think they just start boofing like wildfire.
Like Clayton Patterson?
Yeah, they've been younger. There's been all this buildup for 86 years, and normally they'd be like, I'm done with that. But then it's like, man, dudes are my thing, and I all I want now, and go crazy.
Clive Davis, I could get anybody.
Clive Davis is just humping away nonstop now.
This is what it says in his memoir. He says, he acknowledges his bisexuality was something my children and close friends have always known. Your kids that you were by? He says he was twice divorced. After my second marriage failed, I met a man who was so grounded in music. Having only had a loving relationship and sexual intimacy with a woman, I opened myself up to the possibility that I could have that with a male. Found out that I could.
Are you the main guy, or are you the one who gets it?
I found out that I could all the time, every day.
He's the only one I've ever met that can handle my junk.
It's funny. He quickly then follows that up with, I've never stopped being attracted to women, by the way.
Fake.
Basically, he's saying
a man can touch another penis or even kiss one very lightly, and it still doesn't necessarily mean he's a homosexual.
Oh, huh.
Did anybody see the story today about Chris Brown's yard sale?
Yeah, I saw the story.
This was the biggest deal because it sounded like LAPD really did not
evidence.
I don't think LAPD wants him to have a yard sale. It sounds like because they thought this is going to be a clusterfuck of Chris Brown fans trying to get to his shit, which is probably terribly overpriced anyway. What? By the way, what crap is Chris Brown selling that people are going to pay ridiculous prices for?
Guns.
Wow, look at the queue.
I know.
The queue.
I know. They're only letting...
What are you, British? The queue.
Yes, that is a queue, because people are lined up.
Chris is only letting 10 people at a time go examine his stuff.
Lord. Lord.
Oh, he's probably got some good bling.
Concerned about shoplifting.
I mean, think of all the time people have stolen stuff from him, like that one girl did.
Oh, yeah, stealing his jewelry. Actually, they stole her phone.
Oh, maybe he's got those phones for sale.
And forced her to watch porn in a locked room. Remember?
Maybe he's doing that to the people at the yard sale. Okay,
this guy bought some pretty beat-up used sneakers for $200.
$200?
Yeah. Let's see what this guy got. This guy got a jacket, but I don't see how much he paid for it.
So Chris Brown is overcharging people for his everyday crap.
Because he wore it.
Does he need money?
I don't know. I just hope the IRS was there to audit it so he pays his taxes.
Look at how many people are there. They have food trucks because the line is so long. There's babies. There's strollers. Babies love yard sales.
This is not like some low-rent area either. It's a giant house.
One, two, three, four. 12 tents. 12 tents.
Okay. My guess when I first saw this was he needs money? Because they said... they were kind of implying that.
Boy, yo, what's he selling?
Here's the first customer. Is this the guy that bought the shoes, Brandon? Do you know?
I don't know.
How much? 100, a little under 500.
We're doing 30 for shoes and 10
shoes, clothes.
What's the craziest thing for sale up there?
Huh?
What's the craziest thing for sale up there?
Really vintage.
Is it worth it?
Vintage, definitely.
Vintage. Is he
changing at all? Is he there?
No, he's probably still in his cocoon. So sleeping.
Can you tell us what you bought though?
Old school Tommy, old school Nike, some Supreme, some limited edition Dunks, stuff like that, and he's giving out bags.
Gives a shit.
To represent his tour, so solid. And it's on my size.
And solid. How much did you spend?
I'm not Chris Brown size. This guy's like two Chris Browns.
Did it look?
Whatever.
I mean, but they're shoes, right? So he's gonna wear his shoes.
Most of the stuff that's for sale are clothing. It basically looks like he had way too many clothes, and he said, "I want new clothes. Get these 10,000 outfits out of here," because underneath those tents, it's just racks and racks of clothing.
I would think Righteous Rick would have been there to get some memorabilia.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it was suggested that that his stuff
stunk.
They were sort of implying that, you know, a lot of times people of Chris Brown's ilk want to get rid of a lot of stuff because, you know, people are always giving them things, and so they'll either go to the Sotheby's route for charity.
Yeah.
Which many guitarists, you know, they may have 50 extra guitars or something, and they have some cause they love. or they will give it away real cheap, you know, just because they've got tons of money. But they said Chris Brown, some of the most basic stuff was very expensive. So it sounded like he was trying to make some money, which would make you think that he needs money. But how could he need money? He can't need money, can he?
Pamela Anderson? She had a yard sale. Who else had a yard?
Chris
she needed
Brown.
Money.
Derek Jeter had one after everybody gave him all that crap.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He had a great.
It was
ad.
Very successful, but Chris Brown can't need money, can he? Isn't he one of the biggest stars, current stars out there?
Yes, I would think.
I mean, as much as it pains me to say that,
John Talley.
John Talley.
John Talley had a yard sale.
John Talley had a yard sale. Yeah.
Chris Brown's net worth is $50 million.
I just could not
50
get
million,
over
10,000.
The idea that Chris Brown needed money. That's impossible. And plus the overhead shot, as they're talking about this, does he need the money or is he just trying? There's like seven sports cars parked next to each other and all Porsches and Lamborghinis.
Were they for sale?
He had too much shit.
No.
He just needed to get rid of his shit. He had too much of it.
Give it away.
Why would he give it away? Why is he soaking his fans for it?
Well, you know what? He's probably not seeing he's definitely not doing anything. He didn't set up any of those tents. He didn't set up any of those tables.
What? He's not doing all the work?
He hasn't
organized
her stuff
in bed, said.
Hear me out. He's got an entourage that said they probably came.
Oh, maybe that's how he pays his employees.
Well, Chris came to him.
You want some money? Sell my shit.
I'm serious. Chris probably came to him and said, I need to get rid of all of this stuff, all of it, because I want new things. And they said, oh, well, you want us to donate or can we sell it? And then they're probably profiting off of this. Chris is probably saying
his answer to that was,
hey, look, you my baby mama. Here's 20 pairs of old underwear. Here's a bunch of socks. Here's some coats. That's your child support. You sell it, bitch.
His child supports his old undies.
That Antonio Brown story, where he's got three kids with this woman, and she has no legal arrangement set up, and so he just says, I'm leaving, fuck you.
And then he bargains.
Calls the cops and says, this bitch stole my credit card and my car. they go to a restaurant. She says, I have three kids with him. We don't have any money, and he's going away for 2 weeks. And the cop goes to him and says, look, she just wants $1,000. She's got three children. You're going to be gone for a while. And he says,
she...
I'll give her 500, not a penny more.
You got to admire his negotiation skills. You got to like him.
It's amazing.
Fuck that shit.
Okay. Well, time to get out of here. Start the week. Hall Financial Hotline's closing down. And, of course, Drew and Mike dot Hall FG. Wait, no. Hall. Wait, Hall Financial dot. Drew and Mike dot Hall FG. Drew and Mike dot Hall FG.com or go to our website. Click the link. Fill out the online form. Let Hall Financial get back to you and save you money on a refi. Become their 801st five-star review. Actually, I'm sure they're well beyond 801. And Jen came by, so we should plug the Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Drew and Mike Show? Drew and Mike Show or Drew and Mike?
Drew and Mike Show, she said.
Drew and Mike Show on Instagram.
She was very reluctant to give her review of the Celine Dion show.
Oh, what? How was it?
She got all dressed up for Celine Dion.
Celine. Jen, when are you going to put a picture of yourself on the Instagram? That's apparently what people want to know. What? What'd you say?
I just want to make it clear that Jen has full permission to put her picture. In fact, I think we should. It should be required that she puts at least one picture of herself somehow on the Instagram page. And I predict some likes. More likes.
I don't know if she likes that idea.
People are demanding it.
I know they are. Put your sister up there instead. Same thing.
If she has a twin.
Twin.
How cool is that?
Pretty sweet.
Okay, so I'm sorry about no show tomorrow, but just one of those things. And then
crazy.
Sunday, of course, or for the Monday show, we'll be back to talk about the Lions and the Bears.
Rams,
and the lock of the week.
Lock of the week.
That's right.
Rams lock of the week. And it's the Lions at the lock of the week, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Lions plus 2.5.
All right, like us on Facebook, rate us on Facebook, rate us on iTunes, use the Amazon portal, or just give us money at the donation bar.
Fuck that shit.
Like I said, I can't answer your questions, and I'm the director here at the center, and I want to, you know, let the person you report to.
Okay, hold on. I'll get my supervisor. Can you hold on? I'm going to get my supervisor. Can you hold on?
Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Heads up!
Yeah, hello, this is Bud. What can I do for you, ma'am? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, can I help you?
Yes. What is your name?
This is Buzz. Hello?
Look.
I understand you were on the phone with a couple of the fellas, and they said you were upset about some conversation that took place.
Yes. The gentleman that I had just spoken with, he's calling for an employee of my office. He called back because apparently they were on the phone and the conversation ended. I kept him telling your employee that...
What, in what way were they unprofessional?
He would like to leave a message, and he doesn't want to leave a message with me or leave me a number where George could call him back when he returns. And frankly, the questions that he's asking me, I don't know. I'm not connected to be able to answer the questions for you, and they kind of insulted me.
How you felt that you were insulted in some way?
Yes.
Now, how do you feel that, what exactly did he say? Because I've had a problem sometimes with these fellas. What exactly did
he
say?
The terms that he used are very inappropriate. I really don't want to get into a discussion of what were the exact words that he used.
Was he using a racial slur?
Yes.
Did he use the N-word?
No. Look, sir, I just appreciate not to get any more phone calls from your organization.
You will not get any more phone calls. I'm just trying to find out what word did he call. I know he was talking to a homosexual organization. Did he call someone, was there an F word used for gay people?
Like I said, sir, I really don't want to get into all the specifics. I just want the phone call here ended. Okay.
I understand.
I don't know the nature of the conversation. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it was heated. It's over.
Okay. I just was wondering what kind of racial slur you were referring to, if I could make sure it didn't happen again. Because that is... That's
well, you know how it's not going to happen again? That this person doesn't call back here anymore.
Can you tell me what word they used?
I'm not going to tell you what was the language that he used. Okay?
Well, if I find out that he used a racial slur, he's going to be fired.
Well, you need to ask him what were the racial slurs that he used.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking you, because you're the one that's alleging this. Can you just tell me what the word was before I take action?
Are you listening to what I'm saying? I'm telling you, I'm not going to go into this conversation.
All right.
I'm just saying.
I understand what you're saying. And I apologize. It's a f***ed up man. He would do something, say something like that. I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen again. Hello?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Oh,